The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. The rookies are in town still. Eric's out on the field meeting them as we speak. We're here in the studio, Andy, Paul, Fred, Kevin's in the booth. We're going to talk Patriots for the next 2 hours, and there's plenty to talk about. Stuff about on-the-field stuff, off-the-field stuff, rookie, draft. Oh, there's just a litany of items that we'll talk about as we mourn the Bruins being knocked out of the playoffs by the hated Montreal Canadiens. So
I think I would term it fell out.
Fell out.
Yeah. I don't think they were knocked out.
No.
I think they laid an egg over the last 2 games.
Yeah, they probably
fell out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Trickled out.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PASS-500. I had a breakdown and take one of those Claritin D's today in addition to my Flonase and eye drops. So it makes me a little loopy. I can't wait then. A little bit more loopy.
You thought it'd be a great show.
Yeah.
But you can't be any more loopy than the Bruins were in that game.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
That's true. Stan Fischler over here, Paul Perillo on Twitter.
And you know what? I chuckled in the middle of the game, not because of what actually...
Because they mentioned Stan Fischler.
Not because of what was said, because they mentioned Stan Fischler because his wife just died.
Right. So he chuckled.
But I chuckled when they brought up Stan Fischler because Fred called me Stan Fischler because, you know, I dared to tweet about something other than the Patriots.
So
I'm not allowed to do that.
She went from sleeping with the Fischler.
So now I'm not allowed to tweet about the Patriots or anything else.
They said his wife died.
That's not what I said. Did you listen to the story?
I never listened.
Did you listen
to
the story?
No.
And just to clarify, and I know that this won't come as a surprise, but when Fred called me Stan Fischler, Andy had no idea who Stan Fischler was.
Ooh. So the breaking news this morning is that Aaron Hernandez has been indicted on a double murder in 2012. This happened in Boston outside a nightclub or as a result of some nightclub argument or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but it was one car shooting into another.
Yes.
And so Aaron Hernandez has been indicted on those charges. And, of course, we've gotten a lot of emails since that news broke about people wondering about cap relief.
Yes, it is a possibility. Down the road, it'll likely take a while. This legal process for this case will have to play itself out, which I assume is going to come after the previous case plays itself out. But there is apparently language in the contract, and the way I've sort of heard it explained, a lot of contracts have some sort of language that says, is there any reason that you are not legally able to sign this contract? Having committed a felony is a reason you are not legally able to sign a contract. And this predated that signing of that contract so that could kind of void some things, and down the road they could get some cap relief. Right. I don't think they'll ever see their money again, whatever was paid out, signing bonuses and things, but cap on paper they may get
they
a credit.
They won't actually get the cashish, but they'll get the
potentially
relief.
A cap credit. So, but I think you're talking potentially years
down the
road. Oh, yeah,
because this trial that he was just indicted for won't happen until the first trial happens. And by the way, I guess it is breaking news, but it's no surprise.
No, it's been floating around. Yeah. I actually was wondering what was taking so long, because we had leaked, you know, police reports that they, and we should point out, Dave, apparently there's a press conference going on just a little while ago. And according to the reports, they have labeled Aaron Hernandez both the shooter in this incident, and they claim they have the murder weapon from this incident. So, you know, previously we had seen police statements that said the vehicle was the one that they found in his house, and he may have been driving, he may have even been the shooter. Apparently they're going all in and labeling him the shooter. So,
yeah.
The story gets better.
It's not,
not better, but, you know, more unbelievable.
For you,
it's a great story. I am continuing to say I'll wait for the movie.
Sure.
It's an amazing movie. I want to know who gets to play me when I ask him, how come he dropped so many touchdowns?
Oh, you're in the movie?
I'm putting myself in the movie wondering, boy, could he have killed
me? Why can't we be in the movie?
As Paul Perillo?
As actors and at his locker and, like, buying it. You know, we can, you know, be talking about, they can have PFW in progress on when we're buying, when he says, I'm a changed man and the Patriot way has changed me and all that crap. They can show us buying it.
And you got to have the sarcastic guy in the background's got to say, whatever. That would be me. And then you need somebody to play.
Me saying he's overrated, a soft player on the field,
you
gets intimidated.
The shameless suck ups in the background. That's Andy and me.
How come he didn't get intimidated off the field? He would have stayed out of more trouble.
Yep. So anyway, anyone wondering about the cap relief, we're talking years down the road, if it happens.
Oh yeah.
So there's really no reason to get all excited.
You have
right
multiple
now.
Trials coming. You have convictions. If not, you know, appeal. I mean, who knows. Yeah.
Another headline in a bad way, former Patriot Rashay Caldwell arrested in Florida for apparently the charge is dealing drugs, and the drug is ecstasy.
You want to get high?
So I don't know if you heard that one.
I had not.
Yeah. He's been arrested in Florida.
I saw a great tweet last night.
That would be great.
Explains the eyes.
Right.
What does ecstasy do for you?
Makes your eyes bug out of your head, evidently.
No, that's the one I always wanted to dabble with in college.
I heard it just makes you feel good, right?
Right. Like, that's why I wanted to try it.
I don't have any idea.
And supposedly it can give you incredible sex, right?
It can give you
like if you engage in sex, it can, you know,
make it better?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should.
Does it make the women look better, Andy?
I don't know.
Yeah, is that how it gets better?
Oh, I don't know.
You think you with Kate Upton?
That would be kind of cool. Plump. Virtual reality?
Speaking of Dan in Virginia.
I don't know about you, but I don't have plump issues in my love life. You're the one who has issues with plump.
Speaking of Eric,
he
Dan
had one good
Virginia
line.
Says,
he's going to run it into the ground.
Why did you inflict Eric on the rookie so soon? We want them to feel good about being here.
Well, none of them feel good. They're all dealing with injuries.
Yeah, it's tough.
Even my guy, I didn't know he had an injury.
Banged up rookie
he
class.
Missed the last, Jermaine Thomas, missed the last part of his combine workout because he pulled a muscle in the bench or something. Like, feels like they all have something.
What rookies are here today?
Don't know. We were never told.
No?
We were told we would be told, but we were never
Tuesday,
told.
On Tuesday, they gave us a list of the, I think there were five individuals that were available. Today, they have not broken that down. So I don't know if that means the rest of them will be available today or, you know, some select.
Well,
handful.
Eric will give us the full report when he gets here.
Wow, the DA used the term ambushed and executed these two victims.
Yeah. Oh. I was wondering if the DA had anything to say about cap relief. No?
Well, is there anything in this story that would shock you now? Have we reached a point where it just can't, it's like...
No. And I don't think what's gotten enough attention are all these people that have, you know
break
mysteriously died since this all came out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a really good point.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Do you watch any, you don't watch that Chicago PD, do you?
No.
It's like, this is playing out like a TV show. Like, from the stuff that you're talking about, like people just disappear,
right?
And evidently, there's not really a whole lot of interest in it. It just sort of, well, he ain't here no more.
You show too
he's
much gone. Interest in it, you disappear.
No, I mean from the authorities.
No, I know. You think it's beyond him? He's threatening guards allegedly at the prison and everything. So,
well, I'd like to think that
it's almost like we're just happy to get these people off the street.
Right? He's locked up. He's fine where he is.
Yeah.
But isn't like the last thing, like the last weird thing, and it's always the thing we point to craziness, is the last Boy Scout. Remember where the guy pulls out the gun on the football field and shoots like a defender or something in the rain? Wouldn't that be the last thing, like if you actually found out he had a gun on the sideline or something at some point because he was paranoid because somebody was going to kill him? That would be something that would actually surprise me if we ever found that out. I don't think we will.
I think it would freak me out. I'm not sure it would surprise me. I'm not sure that what you just said is all that far-fetched.
Isn't that weird?
That
scary?
Well, maybe he didn't have it on the sideline, but...
Traveled with it?
Would you be stunned if he had one with him?
No.
On the road?
Oh, no.
The road? Home? You know, in the locker room? Anywhere?
Now, I will say that
it would freak me out.
Unlikely that that's, you know, just so people know, when we travel with the team, even though it's a charter, we, because of 9/11, have to go through the same TSA security checks that anybody else would.
Right.
You know, they have the wand and they check our bag and the whole thing. So
they are the actual people from the airport. They just come here.
Yeah. So we still get checked, even though it's a, so it's unlikely that that could, but you never know. You know.
You know what else is unlikely? An NFL player executing people.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
You know, for all we know, when he gets on the road, he has somebody meet him
right
where he is to give him a weapon.
Because that's part of this whole story. That other Carlos Hernandez, which you have to put then, no relation, and the gun trafficking from Florida to Massachusetts, or the investigation into that he may have been a major arms dealer on the East Coast.
Right.
Like,
you know,
it's all crazy, but all believable.
Yeah. So I agree.
That's crazy, where Israel gets all their weapons from, Aaron Hernandez. Huge arms dealer. All right. In terms of the rookies that spoke on Tuesday, anybody stick out to you, what they had to say? Jimmy Garoppolo, anything like that? No?
No.
In terms of what they had to say, no. I mean, I was curious to see how Garoppolo came off, and happy to see that he seemed to make a good impression. Everybody was very positive in talking about him. You know, obviously it doesn't mean much. I'm just, you know, was curious to see how a guy, I mean, let's face it, he's going to be in the crosshairs. He's got a lot of pressure on him for a guy who's not going to play probably a down of football for 3 years. He's got a lot of pressure on him.
Right.
Along those pressure and outside influences, found it very interesting that Ryan Mallett tweeted a photo that said #ignore the noise.
Right.
So clearly he's hearing these trade rumors, speculation, whatever. So he's not doing a great job ignoring it, because he's hearing it and then acknowledging to the public that he hears it.
Yeah, but he's got a good grill going, so.
But he does have a phenomenal grill, and I'm not talking about his teeth.
And we should probably bring that up again, too, because...
It just won't go away?
The story just won't go away, and there's definitely now pretty much two distinct camps. The NFL.com/ComcastSportsNet with Tom Curran, our good friend.
Crapsheet and Curran.
They continue to use terms like not dead... There's still mutual interest after the draft, I think was the way Rappaport put it. Curran said that it was very close to happening and fell through late, but still not dead.
Paul, how do you feel about that report?
I don't think it's accurate.
Call him BS?
Yeah, well, and there's the other camp that which I think Bill Belichick resides in, unless he's really lying, and I don't think that he lies a lot. I think that he tells you what he wants you to know, but I don't think he lies.
Right.
And he was pretty adamant, you know, the way he sort of blew off all the questions at the draft and talked about talking to the people who seem to have all the answers. And then John McClain, who is a guy from Houston, who is as tapped into that team as anybody is to their team that they cover, he said definitively, this is off. There was never any interest on the Texans' part in Ryan Mallett. So it just won't go away, is the way Andy put it. That's probably the best way to do it. It's lingering, and clearly Mallett chose to put something out there last night.
Now, everybody thinks we're just going to trade Ryan Mallett for Andre Johnson, because Andre Johnson isn't sure he wants to be in Houston anymore and not planning to attend OTAs and minicamp. So Patriots fans have put, you know, 1-1 together and gotten a Hall of Famer.
Well, the same thing with Romo. The Texans were to trade Johnson, they would have a lot of dead money.
Yeah, it's like $12 million.
Yeah, I think it's 12. Like,
and the team getting him has to now...
Well, that's not as big a deal, because you can restructure.
Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
every trade the Patriots have ever done, they've restructured.
Right.
So that's not a huge deal. Yes, you would have to swallow for a day the $11.5 million or whatever.
Right, so if you're the Texans, you're looking to get a lot if you're going to trade this guy, more than just you know, a fifth round draft pick or something because you have all this money on you.
Right. Well, yeah. Even if you do it as a post June 1 somehow, you're still, it's $12 million over the next 2 years.
And I don't want to be disrespectful to Mallett, but a lot of people have talked about Mallett and a draft pick. Basically, take Mallett out of this equation. It's whatever draft pick that you would give for Andre Johnson. Mallett is not enticing the,
right,
you know, the Texans into, it's not sweetening the pot much. And again, I don't mean, you're talking about one guy who is probably a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver at this point, still catching 100 passes a year. Despite the fact that T.J. Yates and Case Keenum have been throwing the ball regularly to him.
And despite the fact that Matt Schaub was throwing the ball regularly to the other team, actually.
The other team.
Right.
Ryan Mallett, a guy who has not played in his 3 years in the NFL, isn't adding anything to that puzzle.
But the man can grill some surf and turf.
Yeah. And again, that's not meant to be anything disrespectful toward Ryan. He's a backup quarterback, like a lot of other backup quarterbacks in this league.
He won't hear you. He's ignoring the noise.
But he's looking for his opportunity in the league. So I don't see any need to, you know, throw dirt on his grave.
Also not sure that'd be the best place for him to go since they have like 12 quarterbacks.
Yeah. I just think that if you wanted to give up a second-round pick for Andre Johnson, then you still need to give up a second-round pick and Ryan Mallett for Andre Johnson if you wanted to include Ryan Mallett in the deal. It's not lowering. It's not lowering the pick to a fourth round pick in Ryan Mallett.
I think we're all in agreement. Yep. We would send a second round pick for Ryan Mallett.
Sure,
I would.
I mean, for Andre Johnson,
I would
in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Debbie,
now, would you do it as is, or would only under the conditions you would alter his contract?
I would do it as is.
You have to bring him in, but then restructure. I mean,
I
would take the salary.
I mean, they'd have to do some maneuverings to make it work.
Well, if then you're going to have to move other people around, right? Because the cap isn't crap.
Okay.
Debbie in Tennessee.
What's his cap number?
What?
What's his cap number?
I think it's $8 million. Yeah. Something like that.
No problem.
No, I think it's more than that. I thought his salary was $11 million.
It could be. I don't know. You know.
I would do it.
You know.
I mean, I'm sure they would restructure him. Because that's what Indy's right. Pretty much all of the big time deals that they've made, whether it be Randy Moss, Ocho, even Haynesworth, I think.
Everybody. I don't know anybody.
They've all restructured.
Blunt, I don't even consider that a big time deal, and Blunt took a pay cut.
They've all restructured almost immediately upon the trade. So I'm sure that if they were to acquire Andre Johnson, he would restructure too.
Debbie says, imagine how Tom Brady and others who had Aaron Hernandez in their home feel. This guy would have been around their kids.
Yep.
If, in fact, they did, yeah.
The one I get back to is Wes Welker. I mean, he threatened to kill him. Yeah. You know, you think that's just a joke that people say.
He wakes up like in a cold sweat sometimes.
I would. He literally kills people. What was the word? He ambushes and executes. He could have done it to you.
Yeah.
Been like Robert De Niro in that baseball movie. There.
Not to diminish anything that Hernandez is accused of doing, but it was all related to... You know, stuff within their kind of society, if you will. Like, he didn't, there were no civilians that he targeted, in other words.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, well, we don't know, but by, so far.
By the reports I've read, these two were not, they were not attached. They had a run in that night at a club.
Right, right.
So they were sort of innocent bystanders.
But wasn't it tied?
Just because you go to a club doesn't mean you're a gangster.
Wasn't it tied into, like, information or something?
No, that
like
was
that.
Odin.
No, I know.
The original theory was Odin was killed
right.
because he knew about these murders.
He knew
murders.
About this murder.
Yeah.
But wasn't there something like they knew each other? There was something going on.
That's not what I have read. No? Maybe you've read more than.
Oh.
But I thought these guys, it was a club beef that turned into death.
Yeah.
I'm getting a nod from someone in the corner.
I thought it had to do with some business. That,
Peanut Gallery. You
know. No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
That's other stuff. That's the Carlos Hernandez side, the gun
no
running from Florida.
No relation.
Right.
No relation.
Israel, not Florida.
Well, he's got Israel involved. I don't have Israel involved.
Brian in Essex, so not that I don't care about the deaths of two individuals, but didn't you guys report, or maybe someone else did, that if Hernandez were indeed indicted for this, the team could potentially... Yeah, we talked about
the
salary cap.
And Andy, now that he's been indicted, the team can potentially benefit on the cap from this.
But it's going to take a while.
But it's going to take a while.
Andy, what... That was Billy Blanks of Ty Bo fame, best movie ever. Come on, Billy Blanks shoots himself in the head in the first 30 seconds. Amazing. What is he talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
This just came in, so did you mention?
The Last Boy Scout is one of the weigh-ins.
Oh,
when they're going down the field, they pull the gun out and shoot the guy on the way to the end zone.
Right. Did you say it was Billy Blanks or something?
No, I don't know anything about Billy Blanks.
So why is he saying that?
I don't know. Why are you asking me? Ask him.
Was Billy Blanks in the movie?
I don't know. All right. Oh, maybe it was Billy Blanks he shot? Was Billy Blanks an actor before he was a kickboxer?
I have no idea. No idea. All right.
We got no nods of agreement in the back on that one?
No, he doesn't know much about Billy Blanks, apparently. Although he does know about ice cream treats at Disney. No, I looked that up. $28.99 I'll be having.
No socks. Matt Smith is here.
Now I'm excited to go to Disney.
Let's see. Webradio at pages.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How's up, Eddie?
Hey, I know, you know, the Hernandez news is big stuff going on right now, but I tried to call you guys on Tuesday. I wasn't available, but Andy.
Yes.
You know, I always call and I always tell you about the whole defense, that Belichick, you know, needs to change the defense and everything.
Yep.
And at first I thought that, you know, maybe I'm just stuck on an island, but if you read the Tom Curran article a couple days ago, I think Tom is on my side about that.
I think everybody's on your side. Did you read my blog entry the second that they drafted Dominic Easley?
That was my
the immediate reaction from everybody was they're going to be a more aggressive defense because that's what this guy does.
Yeah, and you know, it seems like
Curran must have read our stuff.
Finally realizing that, you know what, I think I have to change. You know, and that's a good thing, I think, ultimately.
Well, I'm going to wait and see how much we do it, how often we do it.
That's a very Eric-like comment. Belichick has finally realized what he needs to do to win games.
Well, guys, I mean, it's been how many years in the making? I mean, come on.
Well, we've talked about it's been a slow process for the last 3 years. You know, that when they drafted Hightower and Jones, when they went more of a four-man front, we saw hints of it in the post-lockout season. Yeah. When they took Jamie Collins as a pure athlete, I mean, they've been going in this direction. Now they just took another step.
It trends back to the 2011 preseason.
Yep.
It's not necessarily like the light switch went on in Bill's head. I think it's part personnel.
And keep in mind, defensive linemen who can actually do that, get upfield, beat their man, be disruptive, those are hard, you know, those are the expensive guys. Those
Correct.
Are the guys that you spend a lot of money. And Bill's kind of intimated in the past that, you know, look, if we were in a position to get it to Marcus Ware, we would have. We just can't get those guys drafting where we usually draft. This is one of those value things where if this guy hadn't had those knee injuries, he probably wouldn't be available at 29.
He would have been compared to Aaron Donald, and those two would have been vying for draft status near the top of the draft.
Right.
Yeah, but guys, do you guys really believe, I don't believe it. I think that somehow, if that was the case, you mean to tell me that Chandler Jones a couple years ago, it took him that long to realize that there was somebody that he could have gone after in the first round? Something is up with his philosophy, and then I think that just he's finally realizing now. This is 5 years too late, in a sense, I think. I mean, he should have been thinking like this, you know, 2009 season, in a sense. He knew the NFL was going to a speed. And those moves that he's been making, not to address the defense, not to shift the defense in that direction, is why it's taken the defense so long, you know, to basically get up to speed, in a sense, with the NFL.
Yeah,
well, what moves, though? I mean, you got to look at it. He was tied into what he had.
Right.
He drafted Chandler Jones 3 years ago.
No. But he's going back even further.
And I know
he had a long-term contract with Seymour. He had a long-term contract with Wilfork. He had a long-term contract with Warren. He had drafted Gerard Mayo, you could argue, as an oversized old-school linebacker. He was somewhat entrenched in what he was doing. So you're not just going to flip a switch and overnight say, I got to get rid of everybody and start over. The only way you would do that is if you changed coaches.
Right. He transitioned and remain competitive while he was doing it.
Correct.
You know?
Well, that would be my point.
I guess I'm going to argue. I'm going to agree, disagree, or agree.
So you wanted him to just cut all those guys that he was tied
into? You think
he's
just all of a sudden he's done it now? Like he drafted Dominic Easley, and this is now he's finally come around to your line of thinking.
I think so. The 2008 draft is
So Chandler Jones, why did he draft Chandler Jones then?
No, I understand. If he really would have gone down, you know, traded up in the draft, he should have traded up to get Robert Quinn the year before.
But it wasn't going to happen.
So you're right there. And he could have done it. Come on, he could have done it. Robert Quinn was drafted.
Yeah, I'm not sure he could have.
But there's two different things there. You're talking about the guy that they picked plays the same exact style that Robert Quinn does. He's just not as good. But you're talking about his philosophy and that he was slow to come around to the right line of thinking, or he didn't pick the right player, because that's not the same thing. I think that he has sort of adapted, and I 100% agree with Andy. In 2005, 2006, 2007, he couldn't just take the guys that he had and change his philosophy and play the different way. He didn't have players that suited that. He slowly transitioned the defense when it got old, which I would say would be 2007. That defense got a little bit old, and then he started getting a little bit more athletic on that side of the ball. He's made some comments about trying to get faster on defense, and I think it's been a process. I totally agree with Eddie's point that this is what they need to do defensively. I just don't think you can just flip a switch and do
it. And I agree with you, it took longer than it could have.
Yeah.
Because I remember asking Pioli, whatever, I don't remember what year, but
they told us this is dead. Yeah. They told us in 90, they told us in 95 it was dead. I believe we won a lot of Super Bowls since they first told us it was dead, and we were already talking about it. And you know who started some of that? Was the guy who now resides upstairs and sits at the big boy table in the war room, Mike Lombardi. When he said, the NFL's now basketball and grass. You can't have those big linebackers and blah, blah, blah. But it took them a little longer to execute it.
And besides the defensive line, part of what Eddie's frustration comes from, it doesn't look as fast a transition as it should have been because the defense, the backfield was so bad, not helping out the defensive line. So,
sure.
You combine it with some bad selections at cornerback, you know, over the years.
Safety.
And you know,
if Tavon Wilson was a playmaking strong safety, that would help.
So this transition looks like it's taking longer than it should have.
But I think it's harder to transition when you're an established team.
Right.
When you want to just come in like Pete Carroll. How much did we hear about John Schneider and Pete Carroll, like, got rid of 40 or 50 players?
How many guys are left from when Carroll got there? I believe it's one.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you don't do that when you're an established team that's winning divisions and vying for, it's harder to do.
Right.
It's much easier to clean house and start from scratch than it is to sort of do it on the run.
And that's Bill what he said. That's not their philosophy. They're not going to do that. They're going to remain competitive.
Well, they couldn't even. Yeah. Even if they wanted to.
Yeah, I know.
You're talking about cutting all these guys and having like Raiders like $55 million in dead money and, you know, there was a transition period. It looks like we're coming out the other side now to a little bit of a different philosophy.
Yeah,
I'm going to credit Matt Patricia, too. I don't want him out here. I think he is modernizing this defense on some level. I don't think he gets enough credit for potentially being part of that.
Okay.
I think he's trying to get a little bit more space age.
Yeah. Aeronautical.
Yeah.
Engineered.
Engineering.
The one thing I disagree with you slightly on,
Fred. Because he takes
a
holistic approach to defense. Supplements.
I think when you're talking about edge rushers, the DeMarcus Wares that you brought up, I think those are the hardest guys to find and they cost the most money. But I don't think necessarily, I don't think it's any harder to find smaller, quicker, more athletic interior defensive linemen that get by on speed and athleticism as it is to find the 300-pound space eaters.
But the
eaters.
Real good ones,
well,
are,
I think
like
both.
Warren Sapps.
Yeah, the big space eaters, the really good ones are hard to find too.
Warren Sapp is a generational player. Obviously, any position, that caliber player, is hard to find.
But Geno Atkins is hard to find.
Again,
I don't think there's a lot of Geno Atkinses.
I don't think that Aaron Donald and Dominique Easley are going to be that hard to find. I think there are a lot of those kinds of players that are come in the draft every year.
If they're not that hard to find, then they're not as good as they are supposed to be. That's what I would
argue. Well,
because I think really good players of almost any kind are hard to find.
I think that Dallas,
and those guys, like Donald, people think is just this phenomenal.
And I like him a lot. I think the Dallas Cowboys defense back in the Jimmy Johnson era was littered with players like that. Smaller, faster penetrators. I don't think that's the way Bill played, to Eddie's point.
No, he didn't.
I think Bill didn't want to necessarily do that. And I thought that the 300-pound space eater, two-gapping guy, to me, was easy to find. Now, was it easy to find a Richard Seymour? No. Because he is
right,
that
and that's
good.
My point. Yeah, you can find Kyle Love to just throw out there for a few games,
and you'll be fine.
But
you're not going to have a guy who's changing games like Seymour did. You're not going to have a guy like Warren Sapp. I mean, John Randall, Warren Sapp, those guys are changing games. I think there's a lot of guys that go out there undersized and play at a competitive level. I don't think it's any harder to find that than it is to find the 300-pound guy that's taking up space.
I think it's all about the skill level. It's hard to find the good ones.
Yes. I think we all agree on that.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing? Good. As usual.
Thanks.
I was slept Tuesday because, man, after Monday night, I just threw the ball against the wall and went to bed.
Monday night?
Oh, what, for the Bruins?
Excuse me. Thursday night.
Oh, the draft.
Yeah.
I threw the ball against the wall and I said, I can't believe it.
You wanted a receiver. All those, six receivers coming off the board, and you didn't get a damn one.
You know what? They got two in the fourth round. They're not as good as the ones that got drafted first, but they big, physical, and the Colts got them and the Browns. I'm not stupid. The Colts got them and the Steelers got them. Martavis Bennett from Clemson, and Dante Moncrief from Michigan. Third and fourth round. They went 6-2, 6-4, 440, physical and run, route.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been disappointed if the Patriots had chosen either one of those guys.
Yeah, but see, that's not my issue. My issue is, you didn't, I agree with Andy. You didn't go what you needed. That's the part. That's the part that's true. You know, you didn't get what you needed. Either a pass rusher, either a strong safety, or either another corner, especially if you're going to keep Revis and Browner another year.
Well,
because when I've been in the draft, man, all our other adversaries got better.
Well, I can see what you're saying, but you can also make the case the Patriots felt they needed to make their pass rush better, and we all agree with that. If Easley is what we think he's going to be, he's going to make the pass rush better. He's going to make Chandler Jones better. He's going to make all those guys better. Then you look at Garoppolo. They needed a backup quarterback because of the situation with Mallett. So,
right now,
I mean, backup quarterback is... you know,
yeah, but to say he's just a backup quarterback in the second round is now a little misleading.
Yeah, that's not what you drafted him for.
No, I know.
No, but you didn't draft this guy because you need a backup quarterback.
But they felt there was a need there. You know, I think they needed help on the offensive line in terms of depth and especially in the interior.
I do too.
And I think they addressed that need. So
yeah, but that's
in the sixth round. You get those guys in the sixth round.
And that's one. You know, we all said they're probably going to draft an interior lineman, a guard or a center. Then they drafted three offensive linemen. Did you need three?
Yeah, I don't know if they needed three, but I agree with Fred. They needed to address that area.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think you're filling needs in the fourth, fifth, and sixth
exactly.
round.
Exactly. But I think you can fill a need on interior linemen in those rounds more than you can fill a need for explosive pass rusher or wide receiver in those rounds.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Plenty of very good receivers, running backs go in the third round, playmakers. You got to find the right guy.
You do.
The only difference is you throw a Jag O lineman out there and no one notices that he's really not that good.
I think it's harder at those positions to find guys later than it is interior linemen.
Nah, I don't.
You don't.
There's plenty of sucky third round defensive linemen.
I think you're in the wrong profession then.
Sucky guards.
I think you can make a lot of money working for a team because you know how to find these.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Wide receivers in the fourth round.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
You don't think that you can get wide receivers in the middle rounds?
We're looking for a number one wide receiver on this team.
Wait a minute. You thought the Patriots were going to draft a number one caliber wide receiver?
No, I didn't think that.
So they're not looking for it.
But I think that's the need they have, right?
I think that, but clearly they don't agree with me.
Right, but I'm just saying that's what Eldridge. I think you're saying that.
But I don't want to. But no, if I was looking for a number one wide receiver to step in right now, I would not have waited to the fourth round.
Right,
I didn't have any
illusions.
But I think
Eldridge, isn't that what you think the need is? I mean, the need isn't just a wide receiver. The need is that explosive, take the top off the defense receiver, big guy with speed.
Somebody because small ball in the last 5 years got us to the championship, got us to the round. But they shut us down, so we got nobody on the outside.
Right. And I think the guy that you're talking about most likely would be found higher in the draft.
Maybe, maybe not. You know, like I said, Dobson, boys, they hurt. They ain't going to be OTA. They ain't going to be at the camp. So they're not going to be in football shape, let alone football ready. Okay, so you mean Brady, going outside, going out there with nobody but with Amendola, Edelman, and Brandon dropped, the drops will fail. You ain't got some receivers, you ain't got no tight end. So,
unless I'm wrong, I don't know what Boyce's limitation will be. I know Dobson is going to be limited.
Dobson's going to be limited. Boyce is not hurt.
What's Boyce's injury? Update us.
I mean, he ended last season on injury reserve, but I don't think that he has anything that's precluding him from OTAs.
I think he'll be out there when the OTAs start. That's what I'm expecting.
All right, thanks, Eldridge.
Hey, can I read this to you
real
quick? This is really interesting. Eric Wilbur from the Globe posted this thing on a blog a little while ago. Did you see this, Andy?
No.
Super creepy interview with Aaron Hernandez. During the training camp in 2012, July 27, 2012.
Shortly after killing somebody?
Well, I'm getting to it. Remember that was the summer of Gronk coming off of the Super Bowl loss to the Giants, and Gronk was everywhere. So everybody was asking a lot of questions during training camp. The question, Aaron, was your summer as crazy as Gronk's? More private, Hernandez said, to the delight of the crowd surrounding him, but I still had some fun. Like what? Can you give us some examples? That's still private, but next question, he said to more laughter. 11 days earlier, Daniel Abreu and Saffiro Furtado were the victims of a drive-by shooting in Boston's South End, murders for which Hernandez was indicted by a grand jury on Wednesday. 11 days. Exactly 1 month later, the Patriots would sign Hernandez to the 5-year deal.
That's stone cold,
he played
cold,
one
huh?
season under it, yeah.
You know, not to break a sweat when that question's asked 11 days after you allegedly...
Well, then you get into... What else has he done for how many other years?
Right.
I mean, it goes back, you know, is he 10, 12, popping people, whatever, allegedly, potentially.
That's fascinating stuff there, Paul.
Fascinating, Paul, from Wilbur.
I didn't mean it like that.
Who's Wilbur?
Eric Wilbur. He's the guy who works for Boston.com.
I don't think I like him.
He's a funny follow on Twitter.
I don't know him, so I can't.
I feel like it. I have something to hold against him.
Really?
I can't recall it, but I'm going to say
so was on his mind, Paul.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Chris with a T-I-A-N is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Pretty crazy stuff, man. I mean, it's Stone Cold Killer.
Yep.
Think it before we know it now.
He just rose up a level in my book. Let me cut you off for a second, Christian. He's talking a lot about, sort of the chronology of stuff. And then he says the big story was Hernandez fielding punts in that training camp, not about the bumbling Connecticut crew that he was assembling to take out Odin Lloyd. And then he says, why would anybody suspect it, especially within the embedded Patriots media core?
Wow. Paul likes that. Check.
Check.
I didn't make the check. It was Eric Wilbur, not me. Where the sun doesn't rise in the east, but over the cupcake and candy stores at Patriot Place.
Wow.
Wow.
Shalice and so-and-so on line one wanting to talk with Eric Wilbur. I mean,
yeah.
Your paper covers the team. Your coworkers cover the team.
Don't get all indignant. This is great.
I think it's a joke.
I do, too. That's why I'm laughing.
Who's Eric Wilbur? Let's get back to who the hell Eric Wilbur.
He's the toughest journalist out there.
Who the bleep is he?
I mean, he's made his name uncovering this type of stuff.
What does he even do?
All he does is hard journalism. Don't you know that?
By what, rehashing a transcript from 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Tough guy, Wilbur.
This guy's not afraid to call anyone out.
Horse face.
Crazy.
I don't even know what he looks like.
I don't either. I don't really know who he is.
Great draft shows, by the way. Lots of chuckles. Needed them.
Thank you.
Particularly on the Friday show, which I got to listen to yesterday finally with Eric breathing heavily for like about 60 seconds before you guys announced the pick. So, knew the pick sucked because he just kept ruined. It's aggravating. So, but, whatever, the picks have been made. It is what it is. And, this is the team we got going forward. Question I had about the defense. Do you think Belichick looks at Revis on defense like he looks at Brady on offense? In other words, I have Brady. In this case, I have Revis. So the guys that I have on the squad, or potentially that will make the squad, at safety and at edge rusher, will be good enough. I know he instantly makes people better just by being on the field, but do you think Bill looks at that? Now, keep in mind, we always hear about you can't rely on one guy, and it's a team of 53 and all that stuff, so if he gets injured, your plan's out the window.
Right.
Right. But do you really think that he looks at it like that? Is that possibly be the slightest explanation as to why we didn't draft the safety?
No. I think they probably weren't in love with some of the safeties that were going to be available when they were picking. I think it was a pretty shallow safety crop for what they would be looking for. And, my guy, who some people thought was second, third, ended up going in the first. So that kind of eliminated a couple options right off the bat there. And I'm not sure they felt they could upgrade. And it seems like they really are comfortable throwing 5 and 6 defensive backs out there who can be athletes and work together. The way he was talking about Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon and moving guys around, and even Jermaya Thomas, the new guy. I'm not sure he sees these distinct roles and the distinct needs that maybe we feel like there are there.
Yeah, but
I'm sure he doesn't, to back your point up. He just doesn't look at it the way that,
a
lot of
I'll
fans
take
do.
Christian's question and reverse it a little bit. If he didn't have Revis, would the need for safety be more urgent?
I'm not sure it would have been. I don't.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think he knows what he has in Revis, obviously, and hopes, and maybe he can be a little more aggressive, and maybe that plays into some of the other stuff. But I'm not sure he would have said, "Oh, I have to draft the next best safety now because we don't have a guy like Revis." I don't. I don't think that's the case.
I kind of agree with you.
And I think he also, I think he probably looks at it and sees the same lack of an answer at the other safety spot. But he's not going to necessarily be moved to fill it as desperately or urgently as we think he might be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think he's dumb. I don't think he just looks at it and says, well, Tavon Wilson, he really is a guy that he's going to pan out. Like, I think he's seen him 2 years that he's played almost no defense at all last year. He's probably a special teamer, and the way that they do things here, he's probably a year or so away from not being a Patriot anymore.
Christian, yeah. Much more importantly, yeah. Are you going to see Godzilla tomorrow?
Hell yeah, May 16th.
You have tickets already? You're going?
No. I'm definitely going to see it. Not tomorrow. That's crazy. All the lunatics talk tomorrow. There'll be guys in Godzilla costumes.
Fred will be there.
Me in the theater. I can't have that.
Time out. Why did you know that Christian was a Godzilla geek?
He follows me on Twitter.
And you've been talking about Godzilla?
A little bit.
It looks terrible.
It looks terrible.
It looks great.
It looks awful.
What do you mean it looks
asininical?
What are you talking about?
It doesn't look good at all.
How is Godzilla supposed to look?
I don't know.
No.
Why do you think it looks good?
I just think
Fred,
looks
you're
terrible.
Talking to a non-geek.
Right.
He doesn't have any idea. The only thing he
exactly. Well said, Christian.
Buffalo chicken and clean underwear. That's the only thing he cares about, all right?
No, I like good movies. That's just not one of them.
He's a guy that thinks that music has no purpose in life.
Didn't say that either. Said music
only
was Katie overrated.
Perry, only Katy Perry, because her jugs are the size of his head.
Right.
Well, she does want to release her big, big balloons in her latest song.
I know. Those are home. That'd be great.
Oh, suddenly you like Katy Perry, too.
All right, I got to go. Your mother's releasing her.
Hey.
Thanks, Christian. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got people hanging on the line, people emailing. We're going to get to that right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Your Boston Bruins are in the playoffs, and Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games. Be there at Boston Garden for all the playoff action. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you will always get the best seats at the lowest prices. Ace has your tickets to all of this summer's biggest concerts. Luke Bryan, Billy Joel, Zac Brown, One Direction, and Katy Perry. Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800. We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Andy, Fred, and Paul. Eric's out on the field meeting and greeting the rookies along with the rest of the media, so he'll be in shortly to tell us how that all went. So very interesting to see who was there today.
A much larger crop today based on some of the photos on Twitter, a bunch of the undrafted rookies and Stork.
Yeah.
So bigger group than the five that were out there the other day.
Okay. Stork was the only draft pick that I had seen as of a few minutes ago. So a lot of undrafted. The tight ends were all out there. And be interested to see if any of those guys made an impression, any of the undrafted rookies that we don't know really much about.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good. Hey, Fred, let's have that beer in New England this year, okay?
You coming over?
Well, my wife and I's birthday's both in November. Hers on the 3rd and mine on the 16th. We're trying to get a ticket so we can come over and see family and go to the game.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can help me find a way to get tickets, I'd appreciate it.
Well, we'll see. It's a little tough. I know the Denver Fan Club emailed us, and they're looking for like 75 for the Denver game, and it's going to be a real tough one.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. We'll work at it. I'm sure we can come up with something.
Yep.
Anyhow, hey, the reason I called was, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. I feel that last year was probably one of the best coaching jobs that Bill's done in a long, long time. We had an insurmountable amount of injuries without Gronk, I don't think we had much of a chance of beating Denver in Denver. And I'm not really concerned about this year if we can stay healthy. And I'd like to get your feeling on this. I don't think we're done making moves, and I'd like to ask you if you think we'll move Mallett, and do you think we'll go and get Dustin Keller?
Yes, and I think there's a good chance. I think they still need help at tight end. Keller's still out there. They visited. Until he signs elsewhere, I'm going to assume, as Ian Rappaport would say, that there's mutual interest. And I think that could still be a possibility. And I said no to the first one. I think Mallett's going to be here. I think Mallett's going to compete for the backup job. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is automatically the backup.
If they're going to do something with Mallett, it has to be this month. Really.
Right. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's too many people have said no, and only a couple people have said yes. And it seems like they're going down with a sinking ship.
Look, and I hate to, like, undermine my own team, but, you know, I think most teams know what we know about Mallett. I don't think it's a secret. There's no hidden talent there that we're not seeing or haven't been made aware of that, you know, is going to make him so desirable to other teams.
Is it true? Now, I don't listen to ESPN radio. I've seen people say that Colin Coward says all the time that Mallett's the best backup in football.
Yeah, one of our emailers sent us that last week. Yeah. How would you know? That's the thing. It's not like, you know, Heward, came in and won a bunch of games as a backup. Damon Heward, you know, guys like that. He's never had the opportunity to do that. So how would you know?
He's rotting on the vine.
You know, all of this comes from people who, you know, watched a couple games when he was in Arkansas and thought he was pretty good back then. And coming out in the draft, you know, the rep he had. But we have not seen any of that in the NFL.
Right.
Well, Bill says we're going to make some more changes and do some other things. I got two more questions.
Oh, there'll be a lot of changes. Don't worry about
that. There's always guys available June 1st.
That's right.
But, and I'll let you go. I just want to ask you, have you had any word on what's happening with Armin Armstead? And, you know, could he help us as a pass rusher, number one? And is that talk about Andrew Johnson, is that just smoke?
My guess is it's just smoke. You know, it's just based on he wants out, the Mallett connections, the Patriots are always active with these veteran-type players, blah, blah, blah. We talked about the hurdles. Financial hurdles would be big, sort of for both teams, to acquire the contract for the Patriots and to eat the dead money for Houston. And if you're Bill O'Brien, I mean, do you really want to lose your best offensive player?
And Noel, as far as Armin Armstead, the only thing we can say or I can say about him is that Bill mentioned his name 2 weeks ago. That's the only, I mean, that, but that's kind of news, the fact that he's still on his radar. So if you're Armin Armstead camp, that's kind of hopeful that my coach still knows who I am.
And we'll see him hopefully soon.
I didn't even catch that. Was that day three?
I don't know.
That he mentioned?
No. This is like 2 weeks ago. He mentioned, you know, injuries to the defensive line last year, and he mentioned Armstead.
Wasn't that the end of the season?
You're talking about the end of the season? Because Bill hasn't spoken.
I forget. Well,
he had the combine. I mean,
he spoke at the combine, but he didn't say it then.
NFL owners,
the breakfast. Yeah. He didn't mention Armstead then.
Paul is calling you a liar.
Well, no, I just was trying because if this was multiple or if it's the same one we're talking about at the end of the year when he said we lost our top three defensive tackles.
Yeah, okay, that's when it was.
Because to me it would
so
even
a couple
carried,
months ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it would have carried even more
weight. A few
weight.
Months ago.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he's now repeatedly in, especially if he had done it after drafting Easley, because I kind of look at, well, Armstead already was a big unknown, and now you drafted a guy with a first-round pick to do what you hoped that he might be able to do,
right.
I think it's even less chance of him being an impact guy now.
I don't know anything about him.
I know nothing.
Hopefully
about
we
him.
Will actually see him in the next couple weeks at these off-season workouts and OTAs.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
He might be up down to 22 now on your list.
Excellent. Andy, that's when you're supposed to use Spanish accent.
Hey, baby, we be my Olivier.
That's Spanish?
I don't know. I have good. So many languages in my head that they all sort of blend together.
You know what? I love during the draft show that you were trying to make so many accents. It really helped with my drinking even more.
And but, we know how you'd like to drink those high-priced wines.
And I do think we should be able to put it over the top, the draft shows, and just have us drink during the shows.
And you know, I was even thinking that the best Andy comes when he's hungry and tired. So you guys should actually create a diva, a perpetual diva, when the show goes on. So you
have
the best of Andy. He's the most, he's the funniest in those circumstances.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So anyways, I was calling today because I had two reflections. The first one, yesterday, Aloha and I went to a charity event that was organized by Joe Gibb and the Redskins. And, you know, I had to go there because of the charity. But they had all of their Super Bowl trophies in that room. They were, you know, getting some money for for children in need and so forth, and they had all of their old, I guess their old guards, all of the old players that actually won all of those trophies, and it dawned on me that all those people have and all those teams there are just like memories of greatness. And it dawned on me that we are fortunate that every year we complain and we scream and we criticize, but we're always in the hunting, and we get so close to the promised land. And when I see these guys, they basically live with the memory of history, and you know, they haven't been relevant to the NFL and to their fans for what, 10-15 years now.
Yeah, so, that's true.
You know, it puts things in perspective, and so
cool. It's kind of what people talk about when Charles Barkley says, "When Belichick and Brady leave, you're gonna laugh at
that." It's so true, and you know, we were talking about Garoppolo yesterday and his heights. I mean, RG3 was, you know, the table next to mine, and that guy, even though seems really big on TV, it's fairly small individual.
Oh God, yeah, he's very skinny, very frail, not quite Teddy Bridgewater frail, but pretty frail.
And that's one of the things that I was curious about Garoppolo, because he strikes me as
he's a little bigger.
He strikes me as a little bit of a smaller frame too. So,
but
he's
a little more yoked up, as Charlie Weiss would say,
than RG3. Yes, but
and Teddy Bridgewater in the really frail framed.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that entire class in terms of their size.
And Gruden was there, is, you know, the coach, right? Seems to be a, you know, nice guy, very young. I was surprised to see how young he looks. And his brother was there, John, very shy guy, very nice guy too. So, you know, these are the impressions that I had. I had no clue that I was going to be able to meet these people, but they seem to be, you know, nice people. So the next topic I wanted to discuss is the fact that the case against Hernandez is starting to become more and more clear, especially in the second incident he was involved with. Does it mean that you know, we can go and reclaim some of his cap hit on us this year? Or is it too early?
Oh, way too early. This is going to be
way too early, even though he's been indicted?
Yes. This is going to be a multi-year process.
That's too bad.
Because, I mean, if he's not guilty, then he was able to sign. I mean, if he didn't commit the crime, then he could have signed the contract. The whole thing is about, was he legally able to sign the contract? And we're not going to know that for a while. And then once that's proven, then you have the NFL paperwork and red tape. I think you're multiple years away from that.
Okay.
So, right. Olivier, before we let you go, what was a bigger thrill, meeting Joe Gibbs and RG3 and the Grudens, or you know, having dinner with Fred and Eric? What was bigger?
I prefer to have dinner with you guys and these people.
Well, you came here and met us at training camp. What was a bigger thrill?
Now, what I really want to know is, did you cheat and get a picture with, like, the trophies or Gibbs?
No, are you kidding me? You know what was the thrill besides, you know, hanging out with you guys? That's always better. But the thrill was, I'm so proud and lucky to be a Patriots fan. That's what I get out of it. And it's like, when I see all these guys, you know, nice.
You should take that quote right there, Fred, and put it on the Fan Zone.
Yep.
I'm so proud and lucky to be a Patriots
fan.
Well,
at least our team isn't
Olivier
named,
in Virginia.
Racistly.
Right.
What was that?
I said, at least our team doesn't have a racist name, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's BS. I mean, you know, these are politicians that will use anything they can to get some personal advertising. But that name has been there for a long time, and I don't know if people feel that it's upsetting them. I don't know. I mean,
Peter King won't even use it. So distasteful to him.
Yeah, he felt fine with it for 30 years. He used it. Now all of a sudden he woke up one day.
All of a sudden
the
switch clicked, and he decided it was distasteful.
Yeah, he needs more publicity for himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, as I said, these guys were nice and so forth, but, you know, I'm very fortunate and very lucky to be a Patriots fan, and it put things in perspective to realize that some other fan bases are would love to have our problems and our criticism, our conversation, and our frustration.
That's correct. Thanks Olivier.
See you guys. Take care.
All right.
clicks him off as he said. Thanks.
Hey, Joe's in Nashville. Hey, Joe.
Thank you. Hey, how you doing?
What do you know, Joe?
Hey,
did you see Bill run the half marathon?
No, I didn't, but I the roads were blocked off when he was running it. So,
wow. It's like Secret Service.
They do that for
most. Like a lot of people, I'm not real happy with the second and third round pick, but James White in the fourth, I think this guy's going to be good.
And I like that pick too, Joe.
What's that?
I liked that pick too.
Yeah, and I went and, you know, there's the, you go through YouTube and you can find the guy, the draft tracker, where they isolate on the different players so you can watch them. And I managed to watch five games where they showed all of his snaps. And, you know, you can watch the highlight reel, and it looks good. But then when you watch the actual game, this guy is always engaged. You know, the highlight reel cuts out, you know, 7-yard runs, 15-yard runs. And there's just a naturalness, the way that he runs, that I just think he's going to be a playmaker. And I think he's going to really – the other running backs that they draft, the undrafted guys, Houston and the other guy, I don't see it. But James White, I'm excited about seeing him on the team.
Well, it's what we talked about. They drafted the Vereen backup slash replacement in White, and then Houston, you have sort of the LeGarrette Blount, Stephen Ridley, bigger back replacement or competition, whatever you want to look at it as.
Yeah. Houston, from what I saw, and it wasn't a lot that I could find on him, I don't see him replacing Golden. I just think Golden's still a stronger running back, and Houston wasn't that impressive. White was. I also got sucked into watching Jamie Collins' old college film. And
what do you do for work, by just curiosity? Sounds like you'll spend a lot of time bouncing around YouTube.
Actually, because my job ended because my wife got a different job, and I'm switching to another job in 2 weeks, so I'm kind of like in a down.
Thank God. I thought you were going to say, like, my mom died and I was on bereavement leave or something. So you're not making me feel so bad.
I was waiting for one of those typical Andy foot in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be.
He did it again, by the way, with a kid at the draft.
Oh, I know. I was there.
Oh, I didn't know if that was on Saturday.
Yeah, it was
or not.
On Saturday.
We went to all three days of the draft. No,
I got a suddenly free vacation.
So
I just drove and listened to the guys' show afterwards. Last week when I was working and everything else, and coming back and listening to the podcast in the afternoon, but didn't spend my time going on. And I don't get into the pre-draft stuff. After the draft is done, then I go and like to look on the players and see what I can find on them and stuff. And,
well, that's smart. As I said, you know, I'm lamenting the hundreds of hours that I spent wasted on all these guys that, you know, go elsewhere.
Yeah. Let me ask you another question about with Garoppolo. Do you think there's two things I'm wondering about that pick in the second round? But one of them was Belichick trying to keep him away from somebody else?
No.
And the other one is, looking at him play, I mean, he looks pretty good, and he's quick, and he's sharp, and all that. Is there also an aspect that he's just going to make the Patriots better because of the practice? And he's throwing the balls, and you have a better quarterback to run to play, so your defense is better.
I think that's a side benefit.
Yes. But
if he's better than Mallett, then yes. Yeah.
We know he's better than Tebow at that, running an offense and actually completing a play, and he's probably going to be better than Mallett at it relatively quickly, sooner rather than later, but you don't draft a guy in the second round so he can run the scout team.
No,
better.
But it is definitely an ancillary benefit if he's better than Mallett. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm
he's
not willing to
I think he'll be better than Mallett.
He's definitely going to win the barrel drill.
He was drafted like 12
I just
picks
think he'll win.
Mallett.
I just think he'll win the drill of, can I pick who I'm going to throw to and throw it generally where I want it to throw? And I think Mallett takes a long time to do it and doesn't always succeed on the back end of that.
All right, Eric's back from the meet and greet with the rookies. How was that?
I'll say that most of these young guys over the past couple of days have generally made the same type of impression. You know, a little bit starstruck, maybe.
They met you.
A little overwhelmed. No, not because of that. And generally, you know, polite.
A green V-neck, and they're, that's Eric's.
Well, it's a lime green.
Polite, humble.
Can you let him finish?
Yeah. Generally, decent guys. All except for one who stood out for the wrong reasons.
He hates.
No. I didn't pick him out. The entire media corps has decided that
who's
this guy
give me.
The biggest a-hole that we might have ever seen.
Who is it?
Brian Stork.
Oh, really?
Well,
horrible first impression, and could not have looked like he wanted to make a better first impression. Looked like he was delighting in being the bad guy. And then, literally, when people were done, he ran off the field and into the locker room.
I was not impressed
literally
with his conference call.
Away.
Now, did he have some type of situation in college where he developed a chip on his shoulder for the media or something like that?
Not that I know of. I mean,
no, but there were.
It's not like he didn't win the Remington
Award.
Exactly,
there was some. Well, he came out and his conference call, as you just alluded to, was very chippy, short.
I'm a ball player.
Yeah.
Right. He came off even worse than that, and with even shorter, chippier answers today. Couldn't have been bothered. Didn't want to give anybody the time of day, and so after about 30 seconds, his crowd. He had a huge crowd. He had the biggest crowd at the start.
Well,
it just.
Was Curran there? Out.
No, he wasn't.
Ah, damn it. That would have been the fight.
And are you outraged?
No.
Oh.
I mean, if that's the way the guy is, that's the way the guy is. But
maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe if I'm like bad and a-hole or whatever,
no
one will come back.
Questions. There's
a lot
of guys.
Certainly, there are guys
stuff.
Who certainly take the memo that they're given and say, "Oh, this is great. Now I don't have to talk to anybody, and I'm going to, you know, use this to my advantage." He certainly seems like he
did
was
you chum
one of those
up
guys.
To him? I talked to your coach, and he was talking about how you said a flop.
I would have if he didn't come across the way he did. I absolutely would have, but
it's too late.
There was some scuttlebutt, and I'm not going to give away any names of people, but that in their post-draft research on him have talked to some people and said that character issues are a big concern with this guy.
Okay.
I mean, very big concern. And I don't want to get into specifics on who said what to me, but because they was told in confidence.
Is it going
to
be written at some point anywhere, or are they going to hold it?
Probably not in Boston. Probably not.
Someone will break it nationally, but probably not.
Well,
in
maybe Wilbur can write it because he's the hard ass.
Right.
Yeah, he'll wait for someone nationally to write it too. But
that would certainly seem to fall in line with the way he comported himself the last couple of times that we've had access to him.
He's got a cool beard.
Now I thought maybe the conference call maybe. You could give the guy a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he just was told.
Effing say a thing.
Right, and was a little scared, clammed up. But you see all these other guys who, like I said, were just the opposite end of the spectrum in terms, you know, being polite, like, yes, ma'am, no, sir, being smiling and everything. Completely opposite from this guy.
Yeah, and what struck me at the conference call, and I didn't actually hear it. I was reading the transcript later. It wasn't necessarily the brevity of the answers, because I think a lot of guys are sort of overwhelmed and they want to keep it as, I'm going to talk as little as possible so I don't say anything stupid. But
well, one of the nicest guys ever came through here was Kevin Falk, and his answers were as short as anybody's.
Right, but you get me up on that whiteboard and I'll show you. I know I'm going to shine there, I think. I'm paraphrasing, but do you remember that? Did you read that quote? Those are the kinds of things like, all right, easy, buddy. You just got drafted in the fourth round. You're not like reinventing the position of center.
I actually thought Fleming came off the same way.
Pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah, I hadn't read Fleming's, but you said that about Fleming.
I think Fleming comes off as kind of a cocky a-hole.
But listen.
Hey, can he play?
I'm just going to say that. It doesn't matter.
All this
other crap does not matter. No one cares about the media's problems. And I'm not making fun of you for bringing that up. It's interesting that he came across that way to everybody.
You were nice to him, right?
If he can play.
I didn't really get a chance to speak to him, but overheard what was going on.
In light of recent events,
I was trying to get
learn to be nicer to players because you never know what could happen.
Well, yeah. I was, he and Jeremy Gallen were going at the same time, and they were right next to each other, and I was sticking with Gallen because...
You could see eye to eye with him.
I could, and he wasn't the only player I could see eye to eye with, actually.
Well, that's a short
James White?
Finch, the running back.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually a little bit shorter than me, which
he's
odd.
That's the Oklahoma one,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
From Niceville, Florida.
Nice.
Not
nice,
where nice Brian Stork is from.
Right, exactly.
He's from A-Holeville.
From A-Hole in the ground.
Yes. Was James White out there?
He was... He and I think Fleming were the only two guys that we hadn't seen the last couple of days. But we certainly didn't see James White, no.
A lot of media?
About the same as the other day, but yeah. I mean, especially now with the Bruins being
out. With the Bruins out.
Was Capello here?
He was.
Did he go to Stork?
He was not happy.
Because see... Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Coming off
his
that
reaction.
Loss. I mean, his favorite team just laid an absolute egg in a choke job of all choke jobs.
He's got a big
and
coffee.
And then he's got to come out and talk to a
recorder.
Guy's
gonna
be all
ice coffee. Big ice
big coffee. Ice coffee.
Recorder, flip-flops,
oh,
and
yes.
Deal with some a-hole.
Right. Oh,
that would be good.
He hasn't shaved the beard
Mix
yet.
Mix in a little Obama, and you have just the recipe for a bomb.
No, he's going to one of those oldie-time barbershops to get the
straight shave.
Oh, yeah.
Those are nice.
Because his playoff beard now is no longer necessary.
There's a place
necessary.
In Boston right by City Hall called Mr. Richards that is a very...
And of course he giggles at that, Fred. Because you know what Richard,
Mr.
the nickname Rice. Is.
Have you been...
Rich.
Been to the one up the street on Route 1? Is like the... It's like a breast place, like where women... It's sort of men's...
No. Knockouts.
Knockouts, yeah.
No, I haven't been there.
Apparently he has.
Kevin, knockouts.
Apparently the guy with no hair has.
It's like, well, no. It's like
1905 Providence Highway.
No, it's like it's $27 for a haircut. And I was like, not on my salary.
Are they hot?
I didn't walk in. I just looked it up online because I needed a haircut.
And can you get like a beer or something?
I looked it up online.
What?
Can you get a beer?
Yeah,
a lot of these places,
watch games while you're getting your haircut.
It's like beer, you watch games, you and boobs in your face. It's kind of an experience.
Why don't you just go to a strip joint?
Because they don't cut your hair.
There's that too.
Now, if the strip joints just added barbering, then they would have it all.
I'm sure.
But if it's between like an $8 buzz cut up the street and $27,
you could just do it yourself. You know.
What?
You could just do it yourself.
I know, but then I don't do it evenly, yeah, and you get some that's longer than the others, and it's
painful. Get the Flo-by.
Have them do your groin section.
My groin section?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
You don't know what a groin section means?
No, but I don't know why you would bring that up.
Wait, you mean great delivery right
now? It's always on his mind.
You don't know what a groin section
is? Why are you thinking about Kevin's groin?
Well, he doesn't have much on top. You know,
it's okay. It's okay for you to constantly be thinking about it.
Ask for a bikini wax.
What are you talking about?
Those are expensive.
How do you know?
My girlfriend complains about it all the time.
So your plump girlfriend gets a bikini wax.
Oh, she's not plump.
He's the one who said he's always dealing with plumpness.
Wait. No. I prefer hardwood floors, Andy, you know?
Oh, for God's sake.
Wait, what?
All right.
Completely
wax.
Smooth.
Wax.
Oh, no landing strips?
Let's go with Chris in Hamilton, Ontario, longtime listener, part-time emailer, all-time Patriots fan.
So get one.
First off, as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, watching last night's Habs-Bruins game, I really wanted both teams to go into triple overtime with half of each bench injured for the rest of the playoffs. The game finally finished with the game-winning goal going off Chara's face into the Bruins net. Actually, his skates. But yes, I cheered for the Canadiens, but now it's go Rangers. So glad to cheer against the Habs again. Felt like cheating with a woman that works a corner. Andre Johnson doesn't seem too happy with the wonderful world of Bill O'Brien. Something about no quarterback to throw to him. Personally, I could see us giving a second and third plus mallet to get him. I don't think a first is appropriate due to the contract that comes with him. What's your thoughts on the possibility of a second Randy Moss experiment? Can you see us trading for him? Can we fit him under the cap?
I would love it. Sure.
Now, he would have to do the Randy Moss and take
he
a
would.
Pay cut.
He would, but I would love to try.
I'd give him a second. I'd give him a third. I'd give him a mallet.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't give him a second and third. Did you say second and third or second or third?
I think he said second or, right?
Okay. Yeah, I would be. Absolutely. Yeah.
Second, mallet, take it. Go ahead.
I have a question, too, about all these. A lot of people are upset about the Garofalo pick in the second round. And I understand why. A lot of people maybe don't think he was the right quarterback to take, or maybe it was too early. But what if he turns out to be as advertised, as the Patriots
Depends
expected.
On who's doing the advertising.
Right, it depends on the advertising.
What I mean is if he turns out to be worthy of being a second-round pick and being Brady.
It's a grand slam pick.
So why are people so upset now, assuming that he's going to fall flat on his face?
Because you don't need
thinking
it.
About now. Because
you need a tight end, a safety.
I agree with, but they're thinking about now.
Right. No one complains about the Green Bay Packers taking Aaron Rodgers now.
In their minds, first.
But I bet there were complaints at the time.
Right. So in their minds, first and second round is about now. It's not about. But I agree with you. Quarterback is such an important position. If you think he can be the guy, especially with the window now with Brady, go get him.
Okay. But now, can we have the flip side of that being the people that understand. They're disappointed. Like, I'm disappointed they didn't get anything for now, but I'm also disappointed that I don't have a lot of faith that this is the guy.
Okay.
Okay? I find it hard to believe that a 1AA guy was the guy that was the anointed one.
Steve McNair was.
That's all. There's basically two examples. Steve McNair
Joe
and Flacco. Joe Flacco. That's it. Every other 1AA guy was a JAG undrafted guy who overcame all the odds. Tony Romo, Kurt Warner. I mean, there's more guys like John Skelton and the like than
there
are.
A lot of skeletons in the closet.
Than there are, Steve McNair's and Joe Flacco.
But even Garoppolo said, you know, there's the difference between 1AA and 1 isn't as big as it used to be. You know?
It's huge. As a huge 1AA proponent that I am, it's huge.
And as a huge critic of 1AA football as I am, it's huge. Yeah.
There are elite talents at the 1AA level that can compete. But you are not dealing top to bottom with anywhere close to the level of
play. And Garoppolo's not one of these guys, but there are some guys playing at that level because for whatever reason, grades or whatever, they couldn't
get
it.
It ain't grades.
No.
Because for the most part, the 1AA schools are better academically.
It's usually a transfer that wanted to play.
Size and speed. They didn't fit the little, just like the pros.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys at Alabama that for whatever reason, they were really good at Alabama, but they didn't have the 40 time. So, you know, they're a sixth round pick. It's the same thing out of high school. They could play, and they had good talent, but maybe they were an inch or two short and you know, a tenth of a second or two slow on the 40.
Oh, that's most people.
That's the
but
one double A
like
guys.
The stars. He says there's some guys that are like stars and are, you know, elite talents.
That's how
usually
they end up in
Joe
one double
Flacco.
A.
No, usually
well,
there's transfer
well, transfers.
Issues.
That's a different.
They can just go right away, and some of those guys do that. But it's not. The gap has not closed all that much.
No,
the SEC to the OVC is still a massive gap.
Besides the fact that the OVC is a very low level of 1AA football as compared to, Andy, the CAA, which is?
The SEC of 1AA.
Thank you, Fred. The SEC of the 1AA level.
I almost swore. I almost said the king of the dip. Bleeps of the 1AA.
Be that as it may, it's a much higher level.
I like Garoppolo.
Most of the 1AA.
Very, yes. Very higher.
I doubt if you hooked up any of the Patriots scouts to a lie detector and said, you know, can Garoppolo be the next Tom Brady? Anyone would say, yes, he can. But I think they think that he can be a winning quarterback in the NFL.
He doesn't need to be the next Tom Brady.
Right.
I'm not holding him to that.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
No, but can he take over?
Can he be and win some
can
games?
Can he be a good NFL
with a good
starting
team
quarterback?
Around him.
Yeah.
Can he be a top 12 quarterback, a playoff quarterback with regularity?
Playoff
and,
quarterback.
And I'll let you know
that's
in 4 years.
For.
Maybe.
Now, I'm skeptical.
Maybe in 4 years.
You know,
because he might only play in the fourth year or whatever.
From what I've seen, no. But a lot can happen
you
in 3 years.
From
you
what
you've
seen,
no.
Yeah, from what little I've and admittedly, it's very little. But
he really
from what
likes
I've seen,
the mullet-headed receiver on that team.
That's part of why I don't think he can play.
He's throwing to a mullet head.
He's playing to a kid that couldn't have started at my high school.
John in New Brunswick, Canada, love the show. It's a staple in my week. Andy mentioned.
I'm sure they have a bigger budget.
No,
I'm sorry.
Question.
Fred just gave me the bad look. He
Andy
me
mentioned
look.
The other day that the people upstairs think all the listeners are uneducated and unemployed people sitting in their basement listening to the show. I beg to differ. I am an engineer working for an oil company north of the border. A couple of months ago, I was listening to the show at my desk on a day when I wrote an email. Mine was read, and about 15 minutes later, I got an email from a coworker in another office who heard my email read and figured out it was me.
That's awesome!
We've often said that our awesome. Clientele is very high demographic.
There is an example of two
very
educated professionals
people.
Investing 2 hours of their day in real value. As long as my boss isn't
boss.
As long as my boss isn't listening, then I'm okay.
Boss?
Yeah, that'd be
you're
funny.
You're a loser.
Saw your email on PFW in Progress. You're fired.
And P.S. I never got the survey you sent out a few weeks ago.
Oh, sorry about that.
We did get a lot of
doesn't
lot of
go
response.
To Canada.
Did
that's
get,
a that's a great email.
Phone
and I'm glad
that the show started at noon.
Just so you know, in a couple minutes, PFW in Progress will be starting.
You'll get that alert. Thank you very much.
That is pretty cool, though. That's even better. Remember
that's
we
a
had
great email.
ASU.
Two people in the same office.
Yeah. Remember, we had two people in the same class at ASU. I believe.
Yeah. Right.
But this is even cool. They're engineers.
Yeah.
They're high level people listening to
it
us.
Wasn't the college one? The two kids started. Laughing at the same time.
Yeah,
and they looked at each other and they realized they were laughing at the same time.
Did you see the one the guy said the other day he was doing pull-ups and he almost fell down because he started laughing at pull-ups because he was listening to us?
Michael Sam asked for advice. This is from Phil in Nova
Scotia.
Don't
do a TV show.
All he wants to do is play football.
If you were a friend of Michael Sam and he asked you if he should do the Oprah documentary, what would you tell him?
No.
No.
You just said you just want to be a football
this
player.
Is a real bad decision.
Plus, even worse, it's on Oprah. It's not like you even got HBO or ESPN. You're on Oprah. No one watches it.
I'm
it's her own network because she's the only one who watches it.
I have no problem with him.
I have no problem with him being gay.
Oh.
I have a problem with him being a pussy. Don't do Oprah. Don't do Oprah.
What if the views of the host of this show are not necessarily
right,
those
what,
of
what
the,
if it were, you know,
Spike TV,
HBO?
Okay, maybe.
NFL
but
I don't have a problem with the TV show, but Andy hit on the reason why I have a problem. You've done nothing but beat us over the head with the fact that all you want to be is a football player, but yet all you do is tweet a special thank you to all the people that have embraced him.
That makes no sense.
He has to go out and do his own if it was even, Andy and I were talking about this morning, if it was like something on HBO or Showtime, Hard Knocks-like, you know, a football show. Okay, you want to be a football player? And that's how you want to be treated? And you're going to do a show on the on Oprah's network? Was it OWN?
I don't know.
Oprah
no one does.
Yeah,
don't worry. No one's going to watch it.
I think it is OWN.
It's so like he's not doing a show.
I wish him well. I really do. But I don't think he's making good decisions.
No, not at all.
I think he's making, you know, for a guy who consistently tells us all he wants to be considered is a football player, he mentions the other stuff constantly.
Right. And what's the show?
Did he agree to do it?
Oh, yeah. Signed, sealed,
supposedly.
Delivered. The OWN people have been meeting with the Rams people already this week, blah, blah, blah.
Well, what if the Rams say, you're not coming in? We're not giving you access to our facility.
You got
to
be careful. You're discriminating.
Oh, yeah. The Rams are screwed. They can't do anything like that.
Yeah, I guess.
You wait till you see what happens when they try to cut him.
But what is the show? Like, what is... I haven't seen the specific, like...
They're documenting his NFL journey now.
They're going to be put on par with Donald Sterling.
It's crazy. He's hurting himself.
I agree.
I would definitely advise him not to do this.
It's too late, though. Sign, seal, delivered.
Keep a journal, all right? Keep a journal for yourself.
And write a book.
And write a book later.
The memoirs.
Yes.
Yes.
But this...
I don't really have a huge problem with...
Because, by the way, the story's even better in year five if you're a Pro Bowl pass rusher.
Right.
Now it's really... You have a sort of a story. Yeah, if you flame out... That bad choice of words, probably.
I knew what you meant.
Then it's not really that good a story.
Right.
Now...
Too soon.
Let me play devil's. Let me play
I really
devil's
didn't. I usually I mean him. I did not mean that at all.
Yeah, let me play devil's advocate. You stopped and thought for a second. You're like, wait a minute.
Let me play devil's advocate on his behalf. He's a seventh round pick, obviously with no guarantees of any long term security from football. Is he cashing in when he's hot? In 2 years, if he doesn't pan out, Andy, to use the counter to your example.
Yeah.
He's not going to have anybody asking for his story.
I think.
Well, I think he could
flames,
still write a book.
If he flames out, to use your,
he's still the first gay draft pick, the first gay man at the combine.
Well,
the first openly gay man at the combine.
But he's not going to be as in demand.
But I think Paul's right.
2 years from now, he's been on five teams and didn't make any of them.
He's less relevant, but he already has money. Whereas if he becomes,
he might be making a good chunk of change.
He's a good writer. He could still write a good book.
He could definitely write a good book. Absolutely.
But
he might be making a good chunk of change.
He's the first gay journeyman.
But like,
he's
like,
still the first.
I kind of agree with Paul. It's sort of an insurance policy against, you know, to use your phrase, flaming out as a player. And if he does become a Pro Bowler, now that's even better because you already have the historical documentation of his making the team.
I think he's hurting
earning
himself,
his stripes.
I think he's hurting the end goal. If the end goal is truly to be a football player and to be the best football player, I think he's hurting himself.
And I would agree with that. And I'd also would say, I think he's probably doing a part right now of discouraging the other 31 teams from being interested if it doesn't work out in St. Louis. Because
Bill Belichick, for example, who I thought, if he gets cut, he might take a chance on him because now he's just a guy, you know, whatever, the talent, he can be a special teamer. I think this would dissuade Bill Belichick and the Patriots from bringing him aboard.
And there probably were some teams that thought like that. Like, listen, this might be something here, but do we really want the circus that goes along with it? The Tim Tebow sideshow, if you will.
Speaking of which, did you see him working out yesterday on Twitter?
No.
Back to the workouts, doing a lot of throwing today. And, of course, the throw is a perfectly formed, and he's, like, flexing his bicep.
Oh,
and he is so nauseating. Give it up. You're a broadcaster. You don't need to throw anymore.
And
you never could throw.
And I'll bet you he could be a good one.
If he wanted to?
He's a bright guy. Well, he seems like a pretty bright guy. He's pretty articulate. I'll bet you if he wanted to be good at that, he could be really good at it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he'll... I think he's too like nicey goody goody. I don't think he'll be,
critical.
Yeah.
Stripper sends in that the Michael Sam documentary will not be shot at the Rams facility, according to Strippers. So they must have
squashed
it. Yeah.
Strippers is the guy that the shows have that come in at the end and they
correct
all the mistakes. Tony Reale,
the ombudsman.
Yeah. Well, you know the TV shows that, you know, all your flubs at the end. He fixes them all.
We don't flub.
No.
Richard in Old England writes in, with the Patriots drafting a potential TB12 successor, how do you think the Patriots will handle Bill Belichick's succession? In the English Premier League, Manchester United replaced Alex Ferguson, one of the most successful EPL managers of all time, with someone handpicked by Ferguson himself.
Yeah.
The new manager, David Moyes, lasted less than a season because he was unable to get the
Moyes,
team
right?
to perform in the level expected by the team and the fans. How do you think the Patriots will deal with a similar situation and manage fan expectation of this new head coach?
Well, I would be a little surprised if a similar situation happened like at Manchester United. I don't see Bill Belichick going to the Crafts and saying, you have to hire this guy to
Fred,
be my replacement.
It's not his decision.
It's not his decision.
Right.
Right.
So,
but that doesn't mean the Crafts would not trust him to advise.
Oh, sure, they'll listen.
Recommend.
Sure.
They're smart people. They're going to get as much information as they can.
Right. But his track record of recommendations may not
they
be
might
great.
Call us in and say, what are you hearing? What do you guys like?
I'll tell you what will be interesting.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see whether they go with somebody who's a Belichick type person, or completely different, like a Pete Carroll type, or
which is often very common that you know, somewhere you in the bounce middle. Back and forth between players, coach, and hard ass, and back. Like where was I reading? Oh, Minnesota. After the
Brad Childress, Chili,
they had the nice guy, Leslie the black Frazier. Guy, and then now they have Zimmer.
Mike Zimmer.
And somebody was saying, "I've never been like scolded and corrected in off-season workouts before, and told like this is totally different. I need that." And I'm like, "Wait, what, you haven't been like right. yelled at? I mean, what was Leslie Frazier doing? Playing patty cake with his players?
He's yet another one of these guys that took over on an interim basis." Won a couple of meaningless games and got a job out of it. There's a lot of guys like that. You're like 1-8, you take right. over the rest of the year and you go 3-4. Oh, this guy's got something.
And it's really hard for all these owners, really, because none of them have ever done it.
Right.
So they're really blind out there. They're totally.
And they're used to hiring CEOs.
Right. They're totally
dependent
on other people's recommendations and, you know, on a, you know, determining this huge decision on information that is foreign to them.
Or they're not beholden yeah. to other people's recommendations. They fall in love with somebody
right.
for like some minor reason.
Like Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right?
So, like, so it's even worse.
You know, so Lerner, when you get Lerner a guy like Leslie Frazier in there and, wow, I get along with him. He won a couple games. I think it's very easy for right. an owner to say, you know what, just give him the job.
I agree.
Right. You know?
And that happens. That interim thing happens a lot.
A lot.
A guy just wins a meaningless game or two and they end yeah. up keeping the job.
Luckily, Bill's not going anywhere because he drafted the quarterback of the future.
I don't think Bill's going anywhere.
I think we got at least 7 more years.
Let's go to the ACN hotline. Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Good, fellas.
He'll die.
Good night, mate.
An Andy situation, but
you could outlast
that, Andy. Speaking for my people, as one of the PFW in progress callers that has an accent, I just want to say when you said that you have so many accents in your head that they all blend together, yeah, just you're not wrong there. Let's just say that.
That's always his fallback.
That's an imitation of Fred.
Good night, mate. Get him out of here.
Not that I want to be discussing an unfortunate situation like Hernandez, but two questions. I don't want to go with Ron Borges on the situation, but Rod Hollenberg on NFL AM this morning said there were rumors back in 2012 that Hernandez was involved in that double homicide. So I'm just kind of wondering why the team back then, I mean, if there were such strong rumors, why the team back then wasn't investigating Hernandez a little more or keeping a better eye on him. And the second question I have is, the whole salary cap question for me is low on the priorities in terms of this story, but you talked about it taking a few years, the trials and so forth have to go ahead first before they get any sort of cap release. How would that work if it applies, if you're talking a couple of years down the track, but it applies to a couple of years ago, how does that then work? Does the cap money get added on to the cap a couple of years down the track?
Yeah, you would get a credit.
Like
right.
greater cap than, we have a bigger cap than others.
So like 3 years from now, the NFL cap might be 150. All of a sudden, the Patriots is 156 or
right.
something.
Ah, okay.
Because every year you have some instance of that. Like the Patriots had, whatever it was, $4 million that rolled over from last year into this
right.
year. So every year, even though there's a...
It would just be a bigger rollover
hard
probably
cap, right.
than usual.
And it would be sort of... It happens all the time on minor levels. Now, this could potentially be a bigger chunk of money, but it happens, these credits.
But in terms of the
what
other...
rumors, by the way?
There were no...
Who?
Yeah, there were...
Rob Holmberg? Who's that?
Hollenberger.
Who's that?
I don't know. I thought they gave a credit as him being one of the Boston reporters.
There were no rumors that I heard about that he was suspected about a murder. This double murder came out after the information about that came out after he was indicted for this first
right.
murder.
In trying to cover up the double right. murder by killing this guy, he opened up the double murder by killing this guy.
Right.
Isn't that ironic?
Yes, don't you think?
Yeah.
And if there had been rumors, I'm sorry. I know, you know, there might be shady business everywhere. But the Crafts aren't going to hand out $45 million if they think the guy, if they're hearing strong rumors or whatever these are supposedly, that he just murdered two people in Boston. I mean, that's not going to happen.
No.
I don't buy it one bit. And it sounds like another one of these reporters that has all this information after the fact.
Right.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I never heard that.
All right, Dan. Thanks for the call. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to Frank
Holmberg,
in Winnipeg.
I remember.
Hey,
yeah,
wasn't
Frank.
He a player?
Yeah.
Hey, am I on now?
Yes, you are. Yes.
Good day.
Fred.
Andy.
Oh, Andy, I got something to say.
Eric's here, too.
I really, really like you.
Oh, thanks.
But.
And you know how I
thanks,
picked
Frank.
Up on this? On the last show, 32 minutes and 46 seconds in, Fred says about Jennifer Garofalo, if they really, really like him, and then at 45 seconds, then Paul comes in, really, really like, And then seconds later, Paul comes again with a really, really like. And then he comes again 5 seconds later with a really, really like. And then again with a really, really like.
Really,
and Fred
really.
Comes back with a really, really like. And Paul comes back with a really, really like. Paul comes back with a really, really like. And then Eddie gets excited. And then he comes back with a really, really like. And then Eddie comes again with
okay.
a really, really like.
Okay. What the hell are you talking about?
The last show.
We could read the minutes.
Did
back
you drink?
The last show.
You've been drinking?
No, I'm not drinking.
You should.
32 minutes. 32
so
minutes.
You're saying that we tend to repeat ourselves.
I just want a different adverb.
Okay. All right. They tremendously like Jimmy Garoppolo.
They loved him.
But your show is great.
Thank you.
Do you really, really like it?
Go Blue Bombers.
I do.
Okay.
I like your voice.
Thanks, Frank, for calling.
You sound like a hockey analyst.
Again.
Again.
Dan writes in.
I'm not ready to hear that kind of an accent after last night.
Andy asks, who would play him in the tight end Loose Cannon, the coming movie about Aaron Hernandez? The topic of a PFW movie was discussed recently by the PFW Elite, and here are the actors chosen to play each of you, sometimes for what they can bring to the character rather than necessarily a physical resemblance.
Somehow this
Fred is John
well
Goodman.
Me.
Well, that's physical.
Well, he's about 6 feet taller than you, isn't he?
I don't know.
That's all right. You can get away with tall. He looks tall.
He's pretty big around.
I thought it was for Barney Rubble.
Paul, Ed O'Neill or Nicolas Cage?
Ed O'Neill.
I could live with Ed O'Neill.
Yeah. And if Nicolas Cage is starting to look like you, he's really fading fast.
He's funny.
Andy,
I like Ed O'Neill.
Jack Black or Dennis Leary?
I don't really see it.
And
those
Eric,
are two different, really different.
He's all disappointed.
Ridiculous.
He was looking for like
Matt
you know,
Damon.
Yeah, he was, the obvious. He was looking for someone young.
And Eric, John Malkovich or Woody Allen?
I can all see right. John Malkovich more.
Yeah.
We have to remember we looked up, because we've talked about the Belichick movie, and the guy who plays Han Solo. Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill aged
yes.
to where he could be Bill Belichick. He's like
yes.
puffy-faced and older
yes,
looking.
Yes, he could.
Worn.
Mark Hamill could play
Bill Belichick in the movie.
I agree, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if there'll ever be a movie.
Yeah, there'll be a movie, I think.
Mark Hamill might be dead by then.
The Belichick movie. Can you imagine what they would do to our characters in that movie? If Belichick had any, like,
well, they already have the movie
editorial control.
Slogan. What? They already have the movie poster slogan.
What?
It is what it is.
It's true.
It is what it was. That'd be the movie poster slogan. You know, yeah, I don't know how you can
they have to
phonetically
combine,
spell that, but
they have to combine that noise and the noise that Tyrion made after he said crap.
He's a scary looking dude. He looks like he should play like a Russian
everybody's,
bad guy.
Everybody
communist.
Says it, but it's still so perfect. He's the villain. And like every one of those,
yeah,
movies.
He's like a Bond villain. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a Bond villain. He's like
who, Michelle Therrien.
Oh yes,
yeah. Let's
Alan
see.
Rickman.
Mike Gerken writes
he's
Pickle.
Perfect. Yeah.
He said, first off, I really enjoyed the draft shows. A lot of fun. I know the Garoppolo pick has brought up a lot of debate, and I wanted to weigh in. I've heard on this show, callers and emails, and various other places, how people would have rather taken a tight end or a safety instead of a quarterback. The problem I have is there is no mention of who specifically they would have rather had. Looking back at how the draft played out, the top tight ends and safeties all went very early, and what was left, even at 62, at those two positions was pretty limited.
Wait, was Fedorowicz not available?
No, he was
available.
He was the last tight end.
He got picked three
basically.
Picks later.
Yeah. I think reaching for a player at a position of need just to fill that need is
it
worse.
It wasn't a reach.
It's worse than taking a highly rated player that does not fill an immediate need.
So. Yes, we know that they must have had him more highly rated.
Right.
Because they
I have no problem with that part. They really, really liked a guy and they targeted him. I have no problem with that. I really, really have no problem with that.
Because he's a very, very good drafter.
But C.J. Fedorowicz was
he's
a
really, really
second
a very, very.
Slash
and
third round
up, but a very, very.
If they didn't deem him that,
again.
That's fine. But don't say that. It's not like Tavon Wilson that they took in the second round and a lot of people didn't think was going to get drafted.
Yeah, Fedorowicz was up on a lot of people's board.
Is Tavon Wilson going to live on in infamy?
I would not have taken a safety, by the way. I agree with the emailer. I think the good safeties were all taken.
Yes.
I think a couple of them went
could
earlier.
Could have taken a safety somewhere.
I think Ward and Buchanan went a little earlier than most people felt. I think Clinton Dix and Pryor were considered first-round guys, and the other two I thought would be more second-round guys. They both went in the first round, too. I would not have taken a safety. But tight end, I think, first of all, if you really liked tight ends, and I don't know what the Patriots liked, Jason Morrow was attainable. He got drafted close enough to you that you could have moved up to take him. Or they could have just sat tight and taken Fedorowicz, because he went at the top of the third round to Houston.
You think Hernandez was the first later? Gunslinger at the tight end position?
That's just poor to me.
Adam is from Dublin. First off, fair play to you all for putting in the effort over the draft to keep up the coverage. Solid stuff, guys. I have a
fair play, fair effort, play. Solid. That's not a glowing recommendation.
Sounds like a backup SEC defensive lineman.
Yeah. I have a few questions resulting from the draft. First question, no tight ends drafted. I know Andy believes it means Gronk will be fit to play.
That's right. Gronk is fine. You see him yesterday celebrating his birthday.
But does this open up the possibility of a LaFell transitioning into a tight end? No.
Well, maybe a third string tight end. What is
not on a regular basis, I wouldn't think.
What did he call him earlier? Brandon dropping the ball in LaFell to the ground?
Brandon drops LaFell.
Here's a PFW question.
LaFell, what the ball does when you throw it to Brandon.
Here's a PFW question. Who ends up catching more passes in their Patriots career, Amendola or Gallen?
Amendola.
Three, I know Paul believes that maybe Garoppolo has been selected because Bill wants to keep coaching after Brady's gone retired. But does Josh McDaniels factor into this at all in terms of maybe he will succeed Bill? Either way, Garoppolo looks like he's been picked to fit the scheme and not necessarily as an outright star QB.
I think he looks like he's picked to fit the scheme. I would agree with that.
I agree.
I think he's more Castle and Hoyer than he is Mallett and Ravy.
And finally,
I would agree.
I've been reading that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis could be on the bubble in Cincinnati. Any chance the Patriots look at bringing him back?
Yes. I think that he's a guy that they would bring back as a veteran minimum. I don't think any bridge was burned. I think they respected the fact that he gave them their all and then he cashed in at a deal they weren't willing.
And I do think that he's in trouble.
And I also think Bolden's out, regardless of what Steve Houston or whatever the hell his name is. I think Bolden is out. I think Bolden is off the team. Someone else may win a job to replace him, or he might not be replaced. But I think Bolden's gone.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that was just a random. The guy earlier was talking about the running backs or something.
Yeah, we were talking about, that's because Tuesday we had mentioned maybe one of these undrafted guys does what Bolden did a couple years ago.
Correct.
And makes the team and actually takes Bolden's spot. Andy's point is you don't need to have a guy make the team over Bolden.
He might just be out because there's a third quarterback, there's a fifth tight end, there's a seventh.
Numbers wise, he won't fit.
Yeah, just. Plus, he's just not that good.
Yeah.
Do we all agree? A good Bills game 8 years ago.
Do we all agree that three quarterbacks? Probably.
I at this point, I'd say yes.
I would say yes, but it's not a lock. I think there's a chance Garoppolo could beat out Mallett.
When Mallett was a rookie, how many quarterbacks?
Three.
Yeah. So
I think there's three. Yeah.
But Hoyer,
and then there's
only
the
two.
Injury.
When he was a rookie, there was just two. I thought O'Connell was at first. No.
Hoyer spent a year as the sole backup.
Yeah.
Okay. As a rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's also injury, you know.
Yeah.
Mallett or Garoppolo could have a.
But that might have been. Was that the year that they traded? They might have been the year they traded Castle. Was it 09? Hoyer's rookie year? That might have been the year that they traded Castle.
Yeah,
so
I believe
it was kind of a strange circumstance.
Yeah.
But they traded him early. I mean, you could have filled it.
No,
if you
I know,
wanted.
but they would have had another one of those guys.
There were four QBs in camp that year, and then only Hoyer made it out.
There's so many quarterbacks that have been in camp. They're all the names.
Who was the guy from Arizona State that wanted to be a senator?
Oh. Gutierrez?
No.
Zach Robinson.
But Gutierrez, I think, was in that mix.
No. The
Andrew Walter.
Yes.
It was slinging. He was actually not even a rookie.
He was from the Raiders.
Yeah.
Right,
but he Moss came hated in, him from the Raiders.
That might have been the year.
There was him.
Yeah, they had candidates to. They, I don't think that they thought that Hoyer was going to be the sole backup.
No.
Random off-topic note. I just thought of this because I thought of it during the game last night. Milan Lucic took a pass last night where he was coming to break into the offensive zone.
And it bounced off
and it was
his stick like a cement
truck. No. It was behind him and bounced off his skate. But he never even attempted to reach back with his stick. He mossed it. He just kept skating on like, well, if you can't hit me in the stick, then I'm not even going to bother going back for it. It was very moss-like.
Mm. John in South Carolina, I think we all agree, Mel, maybe not Paul, but Brady could be successful in Seattle. Do you think Garoppolo?
Brady could be successful in Seattle.
I think Brady could be successful in Seattle.
Yes. I think Brady could be successful.
I think Garoppolo could be successful in Seattle.
As far as Sam's show, there are other NFL players with shows. Every player in this league is saying make money while you can. I would do the same thing. I don't see it as any different.
Did every NFL player in the league say, I just want to be known as a football player. I don't want any distraction or anything because I'm gay.
Is there another seventh round pick that has a TV deal?
Right.
I'm saying right now. That was a question.
No, I also don't see all these shows for any of the picks.
I don't see it as any different than juniors leaving college early to make money while they can instead of risking another year.
You don't see any difference between
McCarron
those. Wait. I want to address that. You don't see any difference between those two things? There's no difference. Cincinnati, A.J. McCarron went to Cincinnati in the fifth round, I think.
Okay.
In all seriousness, you don't see a difference between a football player leaving school a year early to play football as opposed to a football player signing a TV deal while he's trying to play football.
Wait, but even beyond that,
there's no difference between
those
two things.
If he had said at the combine, I understand that I am a spokesman for the gay cause and I'm going to pursue this as much as possible and that my career is a platform. If he had said all that, I would look at it differently. But he emphasized he was not any of those things. He just wanted to be a football player.
That's the part.
So I have to take him at his own word.
That rubs me wrong.
Except his own word is apparently not worth the word.
Right. When Eric reads the emails, he always comments the person did not say where they're from. Yet when Fred reads the email, that doesn't happen. Should we put the name in a different place?
Well, no. Some people don't actually say where they're from. It doesn't.
Right.
It's not
the name. It's the place.
They just don't actually list it.
And you scold them.
Yes. No, he doesn't. No, it's his little stick that says from doesn't say where. Very popular location of emailers today.
It's true.
It's one of the only funny things he ever does.
I think he does a fine job, Andy. I think he does a fine job doing those emails. As long as he's doing them, we don't have to.
P.S. I am a married computer engineer with two kids, two grandkids, and there is a programmer in my office that listens to the show.
Really?
Wow.
I didn't know we had multiple listeners in multiple offices.
So does this not, when we have that whole thing, does it account for all of that? You know, it's like,
you know, the ratings
like
are bar fraud.
Like bar rooms don't, you know, it gets counted for one viewer in the Nielsen's.
Yeah, that's right. It would be one IP address.
See, we're getting screwed.
Yeah.
That
just
is wrong.
Just think about it.
Tell marketing that our numbers are much larger.
We now need to multiply by three. X equals three.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's like the shots on goal clock at Boston College hockey games. X equals three.
It's like, you know, where there's one listener, there's always more than one.
Right.
You know?
And then there's the guy in the cube next to it who doesn't want to admit he's a listener, but he really likes listening to the other guy's
listening
speakers.
Through osmosis, basically. Yeah.
Five? X equals five?
Yes,
now.
Maybe X equals five. We're over a million a show.
Mike from D.C., I typically have a tradition around the draft to look at what pro bowlers we could have drafted in past years.
Earl Anthony.
I know we're not necessarily loving a QB in round two, but what players did we pass up that could have made a big difference on this team?
Fedorowicz.
And P.S., Eskal, I hope the lady friend is doing well. Is there something we don't know?
No, there's nothing you don't know.
What we do know is there's going to be a very awkward 18 minutes to close out this show.
But this is generally the time of the show that this stuff happens.
I didn't. So maybe Mike in D.C. knows.
Fasten your seatbelts. Buckle up, everyone.
Do you have a friend in D.C.?
Mike doesn't know anything. I will say this, though.
Yeah,
we were talking about
the
listeners who were, and I should apologize for that the other day. That was untoward. I shouldn't have done that.
The other day? What about the last 3 years?
No, the guy that you told Fred about seven times. None of you effing
which
business.
One? The woman?
No.
Oh, no, she earned hers.
She did, yeah.
Screw you, bitch.
No, actually, I actually respect her for being truthful.
What do you know?
Michelle. That was her name, right?
Screw you, bitch.
The Australian?
Yeah.
Who got us lunch?
The one who bought us lunch on Tuesday.
She was being truthful, and I applaud
it's like
that.
Like George Costanza on that episode, she hates me so much.
You want to eat my salad?
It consumed her.
I have to have her.
That was What's-Her-Face, Jennifer Coolidge, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that was Stifler's mom.
Oh, really?
That hated George.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
She was the one, the masseuse.
Right.
Well, Eric wants to get something off his chest.
No, I just wanted to say we were talking about our listeners who are, you know, smart and, oh, God.
I didn't.
It's just not worth it sometimes.
It really is. Go ahead.
No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I didn't hear what Andy said. What did he
say? No, don't worry about it. Don't make him repeat
Eric
it.
Eric wants to get something off his chest, and Andy goes, it's not a woman.
You know that thing I was, you know that joke that, you know, like walnuts and chestnuts and.
Yeah.
Whose is that? What is that from?
I don't even know what it's from.
I was trying, it's gotta be somebody.
All jokes are made from this old guy that lives in Kansas. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I assumed it was like a Chris Rock or a, is it not?
I have no idea.
Is it Eddie Murphy?
It's not Chris Rock because it's something that kids were saying in the schoolyard when I was in like the sixth grade.
Because I said it to somebody and they had no clue, and I was like, "You've never heard
that's
that?"
That's an old joke.
Okay,
because I'm pretty old.
I know.
Clock is ticking.
Dan writes in.
Clock is ticking on what? You're packing it in?
Life.
Nobody has hated on Bill's.
How's life ticking forever?
Nobody has hated on Bill's defensive philosophy more than me, but that last caller must have been smoking something to have expected him to completely overturn it 5 or 6 years ago. Yes, the
well, in a year. That's my point. Right. It was like he's been trying to do it gradually.
Yes, the D was old and more on the passive side in 07, but they had the experience to more than hold their own that year. And I don't recall anyone complaining at the time. No. I say better a little late than never. There's a lot of big ifs to consider, but assuming Easley's health holds up, maybe that helps Jones elevate his game or at least not have to play 90% of the snaps. Theoretically, they could have a deep and experienced rotation with a healthy Will Smith in the mix, though personally I would rather they picked up Jadon. Oh, Jadavian he means? What is he?
Please don't tell me he was.
J-A-D-A-N. Who's Jadon?
Jaden?
Jaden?
Oh, Jaden Smith.
Oh, okay.
I see what he was doing now.
Who's
Jaden
Smith? Smith?
Instead of Will Smith, his son's name.
Oh, I'd rather pick up his wife.
See, we're not hip on
really?
That.
I've always had a little thing for her.
Jada Pinkett?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing for me at all.
I think she'd be fun one night.
I'm stunned about you.
Why?
Doesn't have what you
no,
generally
which
look
is
for.
Why, you know, it's a little animalistic thing
can
or something.
Can I get back to Eric's story that he never told?
I don't know. Am I going to be interrupted again by some idiotic, immature joke?
I can't make any promises.
You have to appreciate the honesty. He's not willing to go there.
So what's the story?
It's not a story. I just wanted to, you were talking about our listeners who are wide-ranging and smart and have these high careers, and I wanted to thank my lawyer friend in Dallas who has been helping me with the charitable.
Oh, how's that
endeavor.
Going?
We took the first step of filing articles of incorporation with the state of Rhode Island.
Yeah,
and Providence Plantations.
Yes, and once that should take a couple of days to get confirmation back.
Name, Paul.
Once we have that, we can file with the Internal Revenue Service, and then you have to wait about 4 or 5 months for them to do their thing with that. But we're on track for by the end of this calendar year being incorporated as a 501c3.
So now, what percentage of your donations?
His name is Jason, and he's in Dallas. He's a wonderful guy. He and his wife are very big supporters of what I'm going to do here. And I can't thank him and his staff enough for all the help that they've given me.
What
so
percentage
far.
Of the donations will go directly to the animals? Because that's always a problem with charities.
Everything but the expenses to upkeep the charity itself as far as...
And your car
and your salary.
And your car
I'm not taking any salary. Like a P.O. box, the web hosting.
Overhead.
Yeah, overhead, exactly. Everything else will go directly to...
You're
going to
be transparent.
What about your 120
absolutely.
Grand?
No. I mean,
a guy's got to eat.
If we start pulling in millions a year in donations, then
so he admits he's going to get clouded by the money.
No.
If we start making millions, I'm going to start taking a couple hundred
again,
grand salary.
Again, you can't finish a
right,
sentence
right.
without jumping to conclusions.
Right.
If we're getting enough money in that it's taking over, you know, my life, I'll have to make that a full-time thing, then you hire a staff, and
listen,
of course, I would
still
be part
need
of the
to get
staff.
The roster and depth chart done. Just so you know,
no, we're hiring people for that.
If
aren't
he
we?
Can no longer be in bed by 9:20 on a Friday evening, then things are going to have to change.
What the hell are you doing?
So, what's the end goal? You going to have like a big event every year, or you know, a
gala?
Yeah,
we're still. I mean, that's everything is on the table at this point.
Okay,
will you be can have it here at Patriot Place.
Beg your pardon.
You can have the you can
come
hold a gala here at Patriot Place.
They already have a gala every year at Patriot
no,
Place.
No, for your charity. Like Joanne Drewsy's charity has his gala
well,
here.
I mean, like I
there's
said,
there's more than one gala.
Ideas and options are
come
all on,
now. On
the table.
That's a little Herm Edwards like.
You can have a dunk booth. Because if you're in it, I can guarantee I'm going to donate a lot. Because I'm not very good at those, and I'll want to dunk you.
You know what? If we had a dunk booth for the four of us, I bet we'd have a huge...
True.
A huge number of people who'd want, for different reasons, to throw one of us
I
in there.
I think we should. You know, you ever seen one of those things where you go in it and it's like a wind tunnel and all the dollar bills?
Yeah.
I'd pay to see Andy in that with his little T-Rex arms trying to grab all those bills going around him.
That'd be funny. He pretends he has Kevin McHale arms.
That'd be funny.
Look at him.
He's got regular arms.
He's rolled his sleeves and they still go to his wrists. It's ridiculous.
And your arms aren't that short. It's short.
It's the way they look.
It's just because you never unflex.
Right. You're always
it looks
flexed.
Like you have T-Rex arms.
You're all idiots.
Because your arms aren't really short.
Yeah.
I don't have Kevin McHale arms or Maura Wilson arms, but.
And plus your elbows.
But you do.
Your elbows go out
flexed.
Because of all the benching that you've done. So it looks, they look shorter than they are.
Let's get back to reality.
That's reality.
Back to reality.
Did you see Devin McCourty did a very nice thing yesterday?
No.
Solicited lunch requests from his listeners on Twitter and then hosted a whole group of, from his readers on Twitter and hosted a whole group of Patriots fans at some Papa John's on the North Shore or something and just had lunch with a bunch of Patriots fans and hung out for a while.
Does he have a deal with Papa John's?
I don't know.
Or that just happened to be the place?
I think it just happened to be the place, but.
So what did he do? He just told people, if you're in the area, come and join me?
That's great.
Is that what he did?
No, he said, why should I host you? And people were sending in like, I have a tattoo. And he's like, oh, a tattoo gets you a spot. And then like, there were like different things. You know, one guy sent in a photo with a McCourty jersey.
You spend so much more time on Twitter than I do. I miss all this stuff.
Yeah, the only time you're on is during the show. And it doesn't take that long, Paul, to go like this.
And the only reason why, and the only reason why I'm on during the show is just in case something happens.
You're
that
sick
I,
of us.
That I deem might be.
Well, that's what we have a producer
interesting
for.
In the show. Well, that's, you know what, Freddie? Good point by you. Instead, he's plump.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing in there. He's got like 15 screens open, and he's doing something.
He's not even listening, is he?
He just plays,
remember when Gary
whatever
used to
he
play
was
solitaire.
Doing, he just he's flicked off as soon see. As I, right. he saw exactly. I was looking. I don't know what
he's
he
on
was
the spank bank.
Yeah. Oh. When Gary used to play solitaire all the time. Yes. Yeah.
But he would still, he'd have one hand over here dropping in sound bites while he played
yeah,
solitaire.
Yeah, he'd move the queen, but he'd get that drop going.
AJ from Roswell, Georgia. I'm a longtime listener, but this is my first time emailing.
Welcome aboard, Virgin.
I'd like to get your thoughts on Mark Harrison, the undrafted free agent signed last year that was on PUP. Do you think there is any realistic chance they move him to tight end and make an impact? ESPN Boston made a comment about this a couple months ago. He's 6'3", 230, and very quick.
That was the expectation of him coming out of Rutgers, is that some team would draft him as a H-back move tight end. He had his issues, which are well documented, and then his injury. Bill Belichick kind of poo-pooed it. In the post,
so
I believe Dave.
Well, yeah,
I didn't mean that one either.
Wow.
he said, you know, he didn't really do anything last year. We're going to ask him to learn one thing. Now, he said that might come before we put more. He left the door ajar, but it kind of made it sound like let's let him learn a little receiver first before we start asking him to do a bunch of things.
But even at 6'3", 230, that'd be a small tight end. I mean, in terms of.
Hernandez was about, what was he, what, 240?
He was 40-something.
240-something?
Yeah.
It depends whether the
and he was a little shorter than that,
or not.
Though. But he was shorter than that. I
that's
mean, so,
true.
You
know.
But yeah, he. I mean, he certainly could do it. But I think people are putting
move
a little too much
end.
Hopes
yeah.
in. Just in addition to the Mark Harrison story and the hotel room and everything, apparently, because somebody had texted in that
he did a duty in the hotel room.
Yes, yeah. Andre the Giant had a reputation sort of for doing, but he did it.
Andre
differently.
The Giant did that.
He rented two hotel rooms. Can you listen
to this?
Listen to this see story. Now. Oh yeah, when other people interrupt you, it's not good.
Very annoying, Fred.
Oh, is it?
You are tiring.
Did you call it untoward?
He rented yes. two hotel rooms because, and he couldn't fit on the toilet. So he would use one secondary hotel room where he would just poop in the bathtub. That was his toilet. He would use that as a toilet because
oh
he didn't fit on the regular commode. So he didn't quite have the same issue, but, I mean, look at him. He's massive.
He better have left a humongous tip.
I know.
For the,
I mean, I left $20 for just puking in the wastebasket.
His tip was a sign on the door that said, don't come in.
Ted Washington, don't go in there.
Adam says, okay, we did the Mark Harrison part. He says, P.S., I'm getting married in September in my cash vacuum / fiance. Makes spending look easier than Andy's mom. But I'd like to buy you guys lunch sometimes. Thanks for the great off-season shows.
Well, get in touch with Mr. Plump.
Yeah, in the sunshine
Kevin, make sure you have that email.
He's a lucky guy. He has a fiance. That sucks.
I appreciate it. There's been a lot of people looking into buying lunch lately. That's very
yes.
nice. Very
we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, that has picked up, hasn't it?
Yeah, Michelle on Tuesday was kind enough to do it. And
she went above
nice.
And beyond with her nice shot at Eric.
Which was totally
she provided
unsolicited
food and
well.
Then entertainment as well.
She told the truth. I can't blame her
She was
for
a
that.
Party in her own right. Food and entertainment.
I think you should. Oh, she's married, though, right? She said.
7 years.
Yeah, but it wouldn't matter, she said.
Yeah.
No, but I think if she wasn't, I think you should pursue
She's
that.
Playing hard to get.
No. Yeah.
She really likes you, but she didn't want
you
her husband
you
to
know. You know like when you were a kid, no. you say, I don't like her when you really
That
did.
Was the version of hitting somebody in
oh,
the
yeah.
schoolyard.
Yeah,
right
that's what
yeah.
guys right. do. Hit. That's what guys do to girls.
No,
they
girls do it.
Girls
too.
Do it to the boys.
Girls do it too. Oh, yeah.
No, in my case, they just mean it.
In my case, they actually stomped me while I was down.
There's no pursuing going on.
Ramon in Dallas, so the draft didn't go as I wanted, but I've come to expect and accept that. My question, though, from the players we currently have, what do you believe could be the biggest surprise? So from the players we currently have, I guess
the rookie
means
class?
Everybody.
The rookie class?
Who would surprise as in a positive way?
Yeah.
I have to excuse myself on this one, because to me that would be Garoppolo.
There could be a million things. I mean, right away, the fact that if Armin Armstead played this year, I'd be surprised. You know, there's a lot of surprises.
If he contributed a lot, I'd be surprised.
If Tompkins
makes
the team, I'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about the draft.
Yeah, I thought he was, too.
Of these players?
How did Tompkins fall such out of favor going from the number one receiver in September to out off the team?
Because well,
that he's such, like,
he
he's the shocking surprise.
He was 50%
of his
catches.
Yeah, but to say that he's, like, the shock of all shocks.
Well, because Amendola's going to make it. Edelman's going to make it. Dobson's going to make it.
Right.
Boyce is going to make it.
No, Boyce might not.
I think Boyce is with Tompkins.
LaFell's going to make it.
He could make it.
LaFell. I think those four are going to make it.
Right.
And you can throw in Slater.
Right.
So you have five.
So you have
five.
So you have a spot for one other, and I think it's going to be Boyce.
See, I think it will be too, but it's not a lock.
No, it's not a lock, but I think
and
that's,
Tompkins
I mean, barring any injuries or other
jump
things.
And if Amendola's on PUP, I mean,
Dobson's on
PUP, then that opens up
right.
a slot. I mean, things happen.
Yeah, I'm definitely not anticipating that.
In terms of the rookies, what do you believe could be the biggest surprise?
Well, Gallen's the early favorite. People are falling madly in love with Gallen,
but again,
which is rare for New England for
again,
certain reasons.
Somebody's got to go. They're not going to keep eight receivers.
He has the attributes. He's 5 foot nothing. So
right, but usually there's a secondary attribute in this area.
And they love Troy Brown, too.
That's true.
What would you like to be the biggest surprise?
What would you like? Armin Armstead.
Yeah.
I want to validate my, 21st ranking on the roster?
That'd be nice.
Plus, I think he's an intriguing guy. Like, if Gallen makes it, what exactly would making it be?
Yeah.
But if Armstead makes it as a guy that
Carroll
thought was a first-round pick
start.
Out of USC.
Yeah.
To me, if you're looking at this draft class, if the quarterback pans out, that would be...
Wow, but we won't know for 3 to 4 years.
The best thing. But yeah, but I'm just talking about if he turns out to be a worthy successor, I mean, could you ask for anything more? Out of this draft class?
No. Three Super Bowls at the end of the Brady era instead of preparing for the post-Brady era with no Super Bowls.
No, but I'm talking about what they did.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm not talking about what you wish they did. This is what their draft was.
I wish they could have taken somebody that would have helped them win the Super Bowl now.
But didn't he ask what the best development of this would be?
Right.
To me, that would be Garoppolo being worthy of his success.
And was it the draft class or the whole thing? Because the best development would be Rob Gronkowski being on the field for 16 games healthy and dominant.
Right. I thought he was talking about the rookie class.
I guess I wasn't clear.
Yeah. Well, then to me, the best would be that the top pick is at full health. Because if he's at full health, I expect him to be a pretty good player.
That's probably the most realistic thing for the...
Right.
Is it?
Me personally, Ramon.
Are these guys being great players? Easily.
No. Is it most realistic to say he's going to be at top health?
No. I'm saying it out of this draft class in the immediate future, easily contributing in year one is probably the most realistic expectation out of these guys.
Probably.
I hope.
Probably.
Me personally.
He gets those boxer shorts to quit riding up on him.
I believe the biggest surprise could be a playmaker / difference maker emerging from the rookies or someone in a contract year.
Well, why don't you just really specify it?
Yeah, I would like to see the team stay above average, healthy. That would be a really great surprise.
Well, that's not going to happen. So I would eliminate that because no one stays healthy.
You don't trust that above average healthy.
Yeah, in the NFL.
Well, there's some teams that have the average amount of injuries. Some have it worse every year, and some have it better.
I suppose. I don't.
In all likelihood, we're going to lose less. Elite performers next year. I mean, you're going to lose less captains.
I would say that that's accurate.
Nick in Seattle says, there are three listeners in my office, and we all laugh at the same time. Our boss asks what we laugh at.
Nothing, boss.
And we told him.
you!
And we told him, and now he listens.
Nice!
Wow!
Sounds like he should buy lunch.
Last week.
He's the boss, after all.
That's true.
Listen to this. Last week he started a meeting with, all right. And then he gave us a sly look.
This is ridiculous.
And that's Nick in Seattle.
This continues to be ridiculous.
Well, I want to know what Nick's office is. What do they do?
Oh, I don't know.
Write us back, Nick. Yeah. Let us know what's
going on. We can't make any money off it, but we have multiple people in multiple offices, multiple spots all around the world, and we got a guy opening a meeting with Fred's lame line, and we can't sell it.
Really, really good, too.
John says best.
Yeah. Really, really a lot of good.
John says
I would like to know their business, though, if they're just in, like, you know, waste management or something. Porta potties.
Who wants to know?
What's wrong with that?
It's an honest
I'd rather they be a high-class one like the engineers.
I don't care. As long as whatever sanitation you do, if you do it well, you got my respect.
Sandy can. Yeah, the Sandy cans.
Right.
John says, best radio show on today, guys. Reminds me of the old Big Show back in the late 90s.
Yep, we were good.
Much love to you, John, back in Chicago.
No, you were kind of in the dying era.
No, back when I was on the Big Show.
When you, Bill Burton, Steve Burton were on together.
I don't know why that era would be tied to those two guys with me.
Brett says, from the East Bay near Oakland, California, but out in the country a little bit, I listen to you guys on an iPhone. Okay.
Now we have just people checking in. Did we ask for, like, where are you today?
Right, well, we just sent out the survey, so a lot of this stuff I'm going to get.
Yeah, that's the survey, not for on air.
But also going back to the discussion we had, where are these people's friends in a lot of cases?
We're like a check-in app. We're like Foursquare. They're just writing in to say where they're listening.
Well, have fun in the greater Oakland area, even though there's no there.
Thanks, Gertrude.
Okay.
Who said that?
Gertrude Stein.
Who's she?
She was a
feminist
socialite back in the turn of the 20th century.
All right, well, that's going
to be a socialite.
That's going to be
actually no, I don't.
It
I hate
for this
people.
Edition of
I'd be a terrible. I'd be the worst socialite.
Have that one, Renee.
You could be an anti-socialite.
Yeah, do they have those?
You are.
Yeah. I can be famous for just not liking people.
It would be a misanthrope. That's what you'd be.
Wouldn't I be like living in a cabin with nobody and making
that's
bombs?
A hermit.
A Unabomber.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening. Anything going on over the weekend? Nothing? No?
Ooh, no. We're pounding out the Patriots
games,
Football
Fred.
Weekly post-draft.
We got an issue coming out.
Profiles of every pick with quotes you haven't seen elsewhere.
Well, OTA practices? At least 7 out of 9.
OTA practices begin on the 27th.
Okay, we're working on our post-draft issue, which will be out Tuesday morning. So we'll see you next Tuesday.
Or Wednesday.
Cause we got my fire, fire, fire. Yeah, we got my fire, fire, fire. And we're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. Gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.